Ladies and gentlemen, every transmission is important. This one is going to be insanely powerful. Share the live feeds now.
Oh, Jones Network.
Unbelievable.
Tomorrow's news today.
Everything's coming out. It's incredible.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones at alexjoneslive.com. You are the Paul Revere's. Share the links and spread the word. We've only just begun to fight.
It's Thursday, the 20th day of August, 2026. And a massive news story broke yesterday afternoon, and I am a leading expert on this, and I'm also a victim of this enemy, so I've got their tire tracks up one side of me and down the other, and they also tried to recruit my father into this exact organization. I'm on record since 2007 when he revealed that to me. I knew a little bit about it, but after he saw my film Endgame, he went ahead and told me and my mom about it. My mom went to UT with him, and he'd been in Plan 2 out of high school at UT. So he met her once. She's the same age as him. Once she got there when she was 18, he was there when he was 14. And after a few years, he advanced into the top, and they recruited him in and said, we're plotting world government total domination. And then he got out of it. Well, it turns out Bill Gates's evil daughter has already been caught in giant scam stealing money. Turns out that at Stanford, she was part of an elite lab that was with top academics and other world leaders on plotting world domination and world government and how to brainwash the public. Now, we already know this about these people. And I've even talked about other top academics that we've had on who would talk about how they'd be young, but, you know, already have one college degree and graduate to top of their class, number one, and then literally just in the lunch line would be Henry Kissinger and later Bill Gates. This is what they do. And this happened to my father, David Jones. So I'm on record talking about this, but this is an evil group. And all the top universities in the Western world are organized to do this, and this is who they are. And we have all their documents. And I mean, we remember they used to deny world government what its goals are, and the WEF and the UN, the Club of Rome. But this is a huge story because so much of what's in the class has now been leaked by people that are really upset at the university about it. You see, when you can deny this is going on, they can have this stuff set it up. But when people start learning about it like Fight Club, well, they start exposing it. We have a lot of people inside the system coming out of it as well. Supervillain loading. Bill Gates' daughter, Phoebe, reportedly took a secret class at Stanford that focused on controlling society and ruling the world. See, even the media doesn't get what this really is. It's not a class. It's a local command ship, just like the Chinese have their Confucian societies in the U.S. Bill Gates' daughter, the communist Chinese, Bill Gates' daughter reportedly took secret Stanford class on how to, just quotes, how to rule the world. So she's Dick Dastardly, and old Gates is literally the equivalent of a modern Hitler. And so we've fixed it right here for you. But we can joke about this all day. This is deadly serious. They've already killed 35 million people with their shots. They head up the World Eugenics Society. His father and mother headed up the organization that came out of Thomas Watson's World Eugenics Society that actually directed Hitler. It's all on record. And I'm not saying they're Nazis. Hitler was one of their tentacles. Phoebe Gates took secret Stanford course on controlling society, used it to recruit for her startup that now is facing accusations of mass theft. Well, there's no doubt she did it. Phoebe Gates tried to game the system and got in trouble. Did secret Stanford course to rule the world inspire her? Do bears shit in the woods? Bill Gates' daughter took secret classes on controlling humanity. People aren't playing games here. And they want to kill every African they get their hands on. That's why she's always seen with black boyfriends, who I'll assure you she's not with. It's all part of the camouflage for her operation. She means business. And she will kill your ass if she can. We're going to talk about it all when we come back on the other side. I'm Alex Jones. Share the live feeds now. You are the Paul Revere's. You are the power.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bigley has launched an online pharmacy
1776RX.health. It's one product we're launching with my decision, and that is ivermectin with benzidol, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but benzidol is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search benzidol studies. Just put that into a search engine, and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776RX.health.
Fortune tanto popolera, si latibus ocellis, fortune amici popolera, sutra di prebellis.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
It is Thursday, the 20th day of August, 2026. I am your embattled host, Alex Jones. Now remember, the globalists and their different allied crime syndicates work around the clock trying to suppress us, take us off the air, and destroy us. And coming up later in the broadcast, I'm going to get into more detail, but I'm doing a special live two-hour podcast, commercial-free, or I'd say light. We'll take a few breaks, but not standard breaks. 6:30 till I'd say at least 8:30, Stuart Rhodes in studio. You know, the head of the Southern Poverty Law Center just got indicted. The main group got indicted 3 months ago. And it's now coming out, and we have even more intel that I'm going to start revealing today. On the Southern Poverty Law Center and $2 billion of funding from the CIA and NATO, and this has been going on for decades because the U.S. government does criminal things overseas to then direct it here so it doesn't get oversight by Congress. This is next-level government weaponization. And their goal was, and of course it's come out in court, they ran with the FBI, with the CIA, the operations trying to shut us down, the show trials, all of it. And the lady that's been indicted, the former head of the SPLC until recently, she, on record, honchoed all this, and she's under criminal investigation. She's already been indicted specifically for trying to infiltrate the Proud Boys, the Oath Keepers, and InfoWars to try to spur us to do something criminal or try to find something that we had done that was criminal. And as I told you years ago, the fake lawsuits against us were all about finding something. And then we had groups associated with them plant child porn on us, but we never opened it. And then when they reported it, the FBI said we were victims. I mean, this has been one hell of a fight. They sent in their infiltrators. They got one main one in who jacked into our surveillance cameras for over a year, and then nothing bad was there, but still leaked the one thing over having cameras in the building, in the hallways, and exits, entrances, of me at midnight by myself walking around with my shirt off, smoking a cigarette with drinking a vodka. So and there's no secret I've told you I do that, or I've done that. I've gotten worse. Sometimes I go 6 months not drinking, God, thank God. But the point is I've never made a secret about the fact that I'm definitely no choir boy when it comes to stuff like that. So this is huge. And if this was happening to somebody else, it'd be a big deal. We already have the CIA caught on undercover camera, confirmed CIA, how they ran the whole thing, which gave us a blueprint to research in federal documents. And then we remembered, oh, on the stand, the head of the FBI from Connecticut admitted that he went and orchestrated the lawsuits against us. Then we learned the DOJ illegally funded the lawsuits against us. The judges found me civilly liable or guilty, then had show trials produced by HBO. And the whole time, their main expert was the head of the SPLC. And now she's indicted, and it's illegal as hell for a private group, or even the government without warrants, to go in and internally try to destroy organizations and set people up. It's illegal, even if they have warrants, for the feds to do that. So imagine what they did with Governor Whitmer, trying to set up local homeless people as some kind of militia to go kidnap her. It was all staged. This is something even bigger and worse. It's just they couldn't get us to do anything illegal. They couldn't catch us saying anything racist because we don't. And we know who the people are. There's two of them. because one of them was dumb enough to be in the SPLC articles 4 years ago telling a bunch of lies about me and admitting he was a mole. And they recruited him out of the office. He'd worked here for like 8 years. So this is what I've been dealing with, ladies and gentlemen. And so obviously there's going to be lawsuits over this, civilly, that's open and shut. We have way more than you even know. We have whistleblowers from the media, from the folks up in Connecticut, and also from inside of the government. So this is just so shocking to my lawyers and digesting all of this. We've been deposing these people. It's just unbelievable. But it was open season on me and my family, open season on my crew. So before I had all this huge news, remember, we went through a lot of hell to get here. It's like when they're about to attack the Death Star in episode 4 of Star Wars, the original, and they're putting up the Death Star plans and talking about the attack they're about to have, and they say, remember, a lot of spies died to get us this information. And by the way, the assault on the Death Star won't be easy. I mean, I don't get up here and tell you one-tenth of what goes on behind the scenes. I live in a James Bond movie, okay? I mean, I'm only still here because of your support and the Holy Spirit and God's protection, and I'll only be here as long as God continues to protect me, or I'd be dead or in prison right now, okay? But, I mean, this is man's work. This is serious, and I want people to recognize, in the whole constellation of media and people, I'm not an influencer. I'm an American Paul Revere patriot, talk show host, pundit, in the line of Patrick Henry or Samuel Adams, in my view, trying to warn the people and getting the information out. And I've got the scars to prove it, and I'm not a victim. I'm an overcomer. I went where the fight was. I was looking for a fight. I've been where I want to be, but you got to understand, people tend to get a little bit of a normalcy bias with how much we've been through to say, well, that's just what they go through. It has been absolute combat, and it's made me tougher. It's made me stronger. It's taught me how the system really works. Well, then you interview experts and read the news constantly. And no, but it's a whole nother thing with all the adventures and all the things and all the behind the scenes stuff that's gone on that I have told you a fraction of, a tiny fraction of. And if I had all over to do again, I would just have fought harder. I have no regrets, because even the mistakes I made and things I did turned into great educational developments and real teaching moments in my life. So I thank you for your prayer. I thank you for your word of mouth. And I thank you for your support at thealexandthestore.com, because we are truly doing epic things here together. So with Robert Barnes, I'll get more into this in the third hour today. And Stuart Rhodes will be in here with me in the fourth hour. And then he's going to hang around, and we're going to host a tour de force breakdown of this. And I'm also going to brief him after the show. He doesn't know a lot of the stuff we know, and I trust him. I'm going to let him know what we know. I can just tell you this, that the FBI has the information, and I need to just stop right there. And but more indictments are coming. And so Todd Blanche is on the trail on this. I mean, that's what I was told back at the time last year. Yeah, we're killing these investigations because, don't worry, we are investigating. But by the way, Todd Blanche would like to meet with you, and I literally told him, tell him to go to hell. I don't believe that. I don't believe it's not a setup. And then I'm not saying I trust him either. He's now the attorney general, but we're seeing movement on this. And now I've got the FBI and DOJ on their ass, specifically on this. And this lady's already indicted. And I'm told there's more indictments coming on her specifically for this stuff. Because Trump is pissed off about J6. He knows they set him up. And this was specifically them trying to set us up for J6. And so, whatever. I'll take it any way I can get it. My point is that they had open season on me and my family and my operation, and the stuff they did to us was epic. And just completely out in the open, they didn't give a damn. All honchoed by the Koskoff and Koskoff law firm and the former federal prosecutor, Chris Matty, and these people that knew damn well I'd do anything they said I did, and had just been given a mission to destroy me. And, of course, it's been declassified by Trump a year and a half ago that I was targeted starting at an accelerated rate in 2013 by Obama. And they sicked Comey, the new director, on me, and tasked the office in Boston that is the real teeth of the FBI That's where they run their hitmen and assassination squads and other the really nasty stuff out of there. Whitey Bulger was just one of their tools. They ran a national, international espionage type operation against me where you don't even try to put somebody in jail. That's a side hustle they had. That was one mission, but the primary mission was treat me like a foreign government, undermine me, destroy me. And we got the FBI documents showing that. They were mainly blacked out, but the codes on them, FBI just were able to look at that and show us in the federal code what those meant. We went and looked it up, and it was absolutely treat this guy like I'm Iran or something. And by the grace of God and all of your prayers, they were unable so far to destroy us. And I don't have a criminal mentality like John Gotti, where he was the Teflon Don and they couldn't get him over and over and over again, so he got arrogant. I'm the opposite. I get more humble. I just thank God every day. Every day is a blessing. Every day above ground is a blessing. I'm going to keep fighting as hard as I can, but if I got gunned down on the street tomorrow, I would not be mad at God. I would say, I signed on for this, and I totally understand whatever your plan is, because I am absolutely humble when it comes to my mission and the fact that it's all God working through me. I do get pissed off on people I thought were my friends, and it's a problem I have when somebody betrays me and I've done nothing to them that I tend to blow up. And you saw that with Owen Schroyer, who overall does a lot of good work, but did tell lies, just cut and dry lies, and that really pissed me off to try to boost himself. And the whole crew was here. They know it was lies. And then, Tim Pool. Just on a bandwagon, clearly, Israel ops. I'm not saying he is an op, but he's certainly regurgitating it, saying, I'm not popular because I'm anti-war and blah, 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 using an X-glitch as their excuse for that. And even after it was known an X-glitch, he came out and did that. Now he's running around saying, it's clear Jones is on the payroll. It's clear he got the call. I won't say who. I said he met in secret with Netanyahu and admittedly took Russian money previously. Did he take Israeli money? I didn't say he took it. He is now saying, and I've got his post on X right here, that I am taking money. I want to know from who, buddy. So I'll tell you, I'm taking money from the listeners that go to, the viewers that go to thealexshowstore.com. So he's really escalated, and he's put out this hoax. I don't know why you're attacking me. I don't know why you criticize me. This is out of the clear blue sky. Someone, I know you're being paid. What? So, this morning, I was working out, and he was coming into work. He shot a video in his car. Harrison Smith shot a really funny video that I posted on X, or I reposted his post. I forgot to give it to you guys. Get that I'll play coming up towards the end of the hour where he describes what this is like. But, we've seen gaslighting from the left and gaslighting from their media and gaslighting from their minions, where they'll just say, no, there are no X and Y chromosomes, and they'll say communism works great, and they'll do something horrible and say, no, we didn't. And you see all these videos where Antifa will punch you in the face and say, no, I didn't just punch you in the face. To have him come out and say, I have no audience, I've destroyed myself because the war is super popular and Trump's super popular, when that wasn't true, when he piled on like that, is meant to say that I'm discredited and I'm done, which he's now said again in a post. He specifically said, my legacy's destroyed. Quote, what Alex has done just serves to destroy his legacy. See, the left's obsessed with, oh, my God, this guy's a folk hero. I don't deserve that. That's what it is. This guy's a populist hard charger. The smart people that pay attention know that this is a phenomenon. It's God doing this, not me. I'm just a focal point. How do we shut him down, then create a straw man, then destroy his name, and then put him in prison or kill him? That's the plan. So for me, staying on air is a life or death situation. Because if I just shut up and went away, then they're going to create their straw man, demonize me, and then indict me as sure as the sun came up this morning, or kill me. And so he's out there going, oh, Jones just destroyed his legacy, attacking me for no reason. He is being paid. Wow, what a defamatory statement. That I'm trying to destroy you, and you're not important, buddy. You're not even popular, and you're very discredited once you got caught meeting secret with Netanyahu. And this isn't our big news, but it just shows you the climate. I want to give you kind of a state of where we are right now. Yeah, we'll play Harris in a minute. Play it now, actually. And so understanding this war, describing when you're on the front lines and reporting back to you, who are many of you on the front lines as well, but many of you are back at the weapons factories, use the analogy, supplying us in the war and supplying others. which is just as important as us on the front lines. You're in the factories creating the munitions. You're going over the intelligence. You're reporting the information. You're moving forward. You're just as important as we are, but we're on the front lines. We're reporting back to you what's going on. And these guys are in total panic mode because they have no trust in the public. It's leaked out of the Davos group in the UN. They're totally hated. Their whole program's out in the open. So all they can do is try to destroy the tips of the spears. All they can do is try to take down the leaders of the resistance. But the good news is, I've always said my plan has become obsolete. Even 5 years ago, a very small percentage of people had as much information, wide spectrum, as I do. And now it is a lot of people, and I'm seeing more and more people that basically get it all and are exponential understanding and are able to communicate it. And that is critical mass, and that is what I'm looking for. Because I know once we hit critical mass and it's starting, we are unstoppable. And then once critical mass is fully triggered, which is we're in the detonation point right now, the spark is lighting up right now, and in a time-space continuum sense, you know, the next 2 or 3 years is like a millisecond, then I will be gone. I might pop up and give a speech once a year or something, but I am gone. The moment I am done, the moment I know we've reached maximum momentum and it's done, you ain't going to be seeing me anymore. Because I love my job. I love what I do. I'm totally consumed with it. But I know in my mission, God told me in that literal vision 28 years ago that I've talked so much about, that I predicted back at the time about the vision and what would happen and how we would be the biggest show in the world and change everything and expose the whole paradigms. And then there'd be a big war against us. That I had to be ready to be demonized, shut down, attacked, not given credit, which God told me that. So I don't care about that. And then I was shown the different potential futures and things that would happen and the family being attacked. So I went to them and I said, are you ready for this? They said, we accept it. Cause I had to get them on board. And then you heard me lay it all out. It sounded crazy. Some guy on a few radio stations and, you know, 26 years old or whatever telling you this. And now it all came true. It's not like I just say that now. I've been telling you that for 27 or 8 years or however long it was. I think it's like 29 years now. And so this is an epic thing we're doing. This is a big deal. This is God's hand on this. This is God's work. And I could not persevere 1 millisecond without God's second-to-second, millisecond-to-millisecond discernment and protection and literally the hand of God on what we're doing. And that does not mean that I'm a perfect vessel. That does not mean that I'm a great person or perfect or any of that. God chose me for this, just like God chose you for your missions, but there is no doubt that we've got the hand of God on us, and the enemy knows it, and they can see it, and they're scared. Not of me. It's like the cartoons and stuff in movies that's been done a lot of different ways where the little kid thinks he's tough when he's facing down, you know, like a grizzly bear is about to eat him or wolves, and all of a sudden they get scared and run. The little kid thinks he's big and then doesn't see there's the big giant standing behind him. When the little kid turns around, the giant goes back into the shadows. It's the guardian there, and the little kid thinks it's him. See, I know I'm the little kid. I know I'm nobody. I know. Because, see, I've turned around, and I've seen it. You see, I've communed with it. I've been taken up there with it. Not with God, but with God's direct servants. And then you hear the description, you can't look at God in the Old Testament. You can't. It's not even a thing of shame. You like try to, the presence of God, you're like, this is just, you can't, you're just like face down in total beyond ecstasy. It's like total completion. What is the point of even doing anything? There is no time here. This is just absolutely completion. This is just timelessness. A trillion years isn't a second. A second is a trillion years. It's just like, you're like, whoa. And it's like, yeah, you want to be taken out of this presence so you can do your operations, correct? Or do you choose to stay in the presence and you're done? Because this is the time for your next contract, son. Sign it. We'll give you a download on the bad side and the good side, but what it's going to do, you want to sign this? First make the decision. Here's the download of the pain. Okay, think about it. You want that? All right. All right, stand by for main download. Slam! And then it only opens up right when you need it at each point. It's like a giant weapons armory. It's just all this information, all this. It's like, it's absolutely dumbfounding. And it makes you God-fearing. When you've got some demon or devil or globalist operative trying to scare you or anything, It's like a joke. You don't fear death anymore. You don't fear anything but failure against the enemy and how much it pisses you off that innocents are being caught up in this and chewed up by these people. Because if you could just show them God's toe or you know, the hem of the garment, if they could just have 1 millisecond in the true presence of God, for whatever reason, they've never been opened up to it, then they would understand what a joke evil is and what a loser evil is. So I certainly don't handle everything perfectly, but I really felt led when I saw him pile on with that globalist pro-war Israeli talking point that he is taking money, I believe. I can't prove that. He's now accused me of taking money, won't say from who, says he's sure of it. Sure, then show us. That's not true. And God, you know, works in mysterious ways and uses this lumphead, blockhead, you know, for good in the end. And I was like kind of guilty yesterday, man. Maybe I went too far. I shouldn't be so mean. And then he came out today and said, I know Jones is paid. I know Jones has been paid to lie about me. I did nothing. He attacked me out of a clear blue sky. Lying to people on X, he thinks, don't know all the stuff he did. Or how he chews out guests that criticize Israel in any way. Or how he met with Netanyahu and admitted it was how to counter people that criticize Israel's war. So he says, Alex is on the payroll making the same moves. And then he uses straw men about things he jumped on the bandwagon about that were safe. Oh, ivermectin, Burisma, 2020 election. Oh, my God, you've got so much bravery after we all hit the barbed wire for years and exposed it all. He's like, oh, look, I exposed all this and got attacked by the establishment before. And then he goes and meets with Netanyahu and, you know, gets under their wings, clearly. Netanyahu reached out to him. And then now he goes, look, I fought the system before, and so I'm good and you're bad. Absolute straw man crap. But I'm going to move on from him now because I want to get into the big news. I want to just give you a state of what we're dealing with and why it's so important for you to share the articles, the videos, the live feeds of Alex Jones on X and on Rumble at rumble.com/ The Alex Jones Show Live and at alexjoneslive.com is the easiest place, the website with all the audio feeds, video feeds, special reports, everything right there. Because the Treasury Secretary's big gamble on QE Unlimited to prop up the bond market just blew up and failed. Big news there. Bill Gates' daughter caught in a world government secret conclave for world domination, how to brainwash the public. We're not kidding. Ex-Fauci top aide pleads guilty to hardcore COVID crimes. It is one hell of a transmission today, but first let's go out to break with Harrison Smith putting a cherry on top the Tim Pool situation.
Imagine there's a guy minding his own business, staying on the corner, and I rock up out of nowhere and sock him in the jaw. And then he is a lot bigger than me and stands up and starts beating my ass into the dirt. And then my friends run up and they get the guy off, they pull me away and they go, well, Harrison, what the hell happened? I go, you know, I think that guy was paid. I think that guy was paid to attack me. I think he must be the agent of my enemies that's taking money to attack him first. That's literally what's happening with Tim Pool. That's literally 100%. Alex Jones made a video about the algorithm messing up and stopping and 90% of the views of live streams failing. Tim Pool, for some reason, decided to interpret that as Alex complaining he was being censored, never actually said that, and attack Alex. So Alex is making a video about an algorithm change in X affecting everybody. Tim Pool just comes out being like, well, maybe you're failing because nobody likes you anymore. And Alex is responding, and now Tim is like, who do you think Alex is being paid for? Who do you think is, do you think he's taking money for the Chinese to come after me? Why is he doing this?
What's going on? This is what's going on here. I'm not going to take your attacks laying down, punk. I don't have to sell you on bovine colostrum. Almost everybody knows for decades and decades, doctors recommend it to patients. It's been all the rage. It's the first 2 weeks of milk that come from a cow or any other mammal. It's not normal milk. It's not white. It's clear. It's full of all these peptides and amino acids and growth factors and things that literally accelerate tissue repair and so much more. But the issue is our bovine colostrum is a private label of the top rated brand in the country. They let us put our label on it and we sell it for a little bit less than it's sold in stores. And then you're funding our operation. It's a total 360 win. But here's where I dropped the ball. I've been promoting this bovine colostrum for almost a year since our sponsor, Big Lee, came out with it. And I just basically talk about, hey, it's great for your hair, great for your skin, you know, great for all of that. But that's just what you see on the surface. Yeah, your fingernails are thicker. They grow quicker. Women, you know, since the 60s have been taking it. But if it's doing that to the outside, what is it doing to the inside? So I wanted to just read some of the things that's in bovine colostrum and explain to you how ours is 4 times stronger than the average stuff on the market and at least twice as strong as leading competitors. It's cold pressed. It's never been homogenized either or boiled or heated up to 250 degrees. So it keeps the cofactors alive. It's super concentrated. One little scoop from the powder is your daily intake, and it's amazing. But now our sponsors come out with these great naturally flavored grape gummies that has a full day concentrated allowance in each gummy. So let me now read to you just some of the ingredients and what it does. The vast majority of colostrum products, again, are flavorless, but the key is they are only 10 to 20% IgG. Ours is 40% IgG. That's double to quadruple the potency of the competitors. And it's a delicious, all-natural, grape-flavored gummy. So it habituates it. People love it and want to keep taking it. Immune Health IgG and Lactoferrin Defense. IgG immunoglobulins are the body's primary antibody defense. Colostrum's natural lactoferrin is a potent antimicrobial protein that binds iron and inhibits pathogen growth. Together, they prime and strengthen the immune system year-round, starting with the gut, and it's good for all the rest of the body and the organs. Gut support integrity. Colostrum contains growth factors IGF-1 and EGF. These help repair and maintain the gut lining. This makes it especially valuable for anyone dealing with leaky gut, digestive discomfort, or looking to optimize nutrient absorption. It's great for young people, but really essential for old folks. Because as you get older, the gut absorbs less and less. The bioactive peptides and growth factors in colostrum support faster tissue repair and lean muscle recovery after exercise, making these gummies a smart addition to any active lifestyle or fitness routine. And again, this is a 40% concentration. You're not going to find that anywhere else. Each gummy is 600 milligram concentrate of the highest quality bovine colostrum. That's not some little petty dose. That is a big dose that will give you big results. And of course, the colostrum are from good old cows right here in the USA. Ladies and gentlemen, if you love the powder, you're going to love the gummies. It's an incredible product. What it does for you internally is even bigger than what it does for your hair, your nails, and your skin. So get the powder and get the great gummies right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Keep us on the air. Be healthier. Have a better life. A true 360 win. Thank you for your support. And the gummies are discounted for a limited time out of the gates. Again, at thealexjonesstore.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
The program leftists failed to silence. It's the Alex Jones Show.
I got 9 lives. Catch up. I got one more silver dollar. I'm not going to let him catch me, no. Not going to let him catch the Midnight Rider. Alexander Jones, coming to you from deep in the heart of Texas, transmitting worldwide. All right, let's start plowing through it. Coming up, has Mike Huckabee found his soul? He came out 2 weeks ago and said Israel is engaged in unprecedented terrorism systematically blowing up, burning down the last churches in Christian neighborhoods in places like Bethlehem and places in the West Bank. And now he just went public. It's in Reuters, AP, everywhere. We have video. U.S. envoy Huckabee tells Israel settlers not to take Palestinian Americans' land, not to take Christians' land, saying that it is a sin in the Bible, in the Torah, thou shalt not steal. Pigs are flying, and again, everybody knows, never had some raging hard-on for Israel and got a lot of criticism because I wouldn't just obsess on Israel. When Israel did something good, I'd cover it. If something bad, I'd cover it. But now, Israel under Netanyahu and Ben-Gavir, I mean, Ben-Gavir is insane. The new stuff he's doing is even more insane. He gives tours of their new torture compound with aisles 20 feet long in it that he's going to feed people to, and he has death chambers. He licks his lips and says, I'm going to kill people in here. And then he goes and grabs flotilla people that are misguided Greta Thunberg types, but beats them up on camera, women. He talks about we're going to kill everybody in Lebanon and take it all. And Huckabee's like, yeah, take it all, take it all. And now he's like, no, it's terrorism. It's evil. Stop, stop. You're committing a sin. Oh, okay. I'm sure they'll say Huckabee's a Hitler now too, the Israeli ambassador to the U.S. I know he's the ambassador from the U.S. to Israel, but he really is the ambassador from Israel to the U.S. I mean, this is just sordid. It's like someone possessed these Israeli officials to destroy Israel because anyone can look at their behavior, and it's taken them from one of the most popular countries in the world, see as the underdog, to the most hated country in the world. That's crazy. I'm sorry. I'll get to that coming up. I mean, that's the type of stuff we got today. Dozens and dozens and dozens of absolutely massive developments. And really funny stuff, too. I love Nick Shirley, man. He is so calm, cool, and collected and good-natured. And when he was here last time, Charlotte was here, my 22-year-old daughter, and she's quite attractive and smart. And I never do this. I was like, hey, you guys ought to, you got a girlfriend, Nick? Hey, Charles, I think he's handsome. I like him. And they're like, well, give me your phone numbers. I mean, I think the joke, once when Nick phone says, that was a joke. I'm not saying I don't like Nick, but you know what I mean. I was like, oh, yeah, Charlotte likes Nick because she didn't really like him. But this was different. But I'm like, hey, matchmaker here, because this new stuff, I mean, it's just he's such a good young man. He's so great. I mean, he's just amazing. So we'll be getting to that. But look at this. And I had economists on. We went over this. This was a sure thing, where the dollar was, where the world economies were, how much debt we had, that we were the best house in a bad neighborhood, and that if Trump got tens of trillions invested here, and if he cut taxes on the working class, which he did, and if he increased it on the ultra-rich, which he did, and if he cut a bunch of regulations and allowed innovation, we would not go completely bankrupt. We were basically already bankrupt when he got in 19, 20 months ago. And then he went into the Strait of Hormuz and did all of this. And the Pentagon told him this will probably destroy the recovery. And then when he didn't listen to them, they leaked it 5 days before. And that was the chairman of the Joint Chiefs did that. But notice the media didn't demonize him because that's too credible. They made it all about Tucker Carlson and Alex Jones and we're nuts and don't listen to them. They made it like we were the ones that were the only ones saying this. And sure, I said independently before the Pentagon report because I did my homework, but the Pentagon report was true. What Joe Kent said, the head of the Counterterrorism Center, was true. And all he was doing as a, you know, former Green Beret and CIA and 11 combat terrorists, his wife getting killed over in Syria by ISIS, probably funded by Israel to shut down a peace deal, just like they just bombed the Turks a few days ago to create a crisis, trying to go to war with Turkey. And I've been saying Israel's about to stage an incident with them because they've said they want to go to war with them, which is crazy. And now Trump says he's getting out of NATO. Is that to clear the way because Turkey's a NATO member? We can go to war with Turkey? Or is it because he knows Russia is getting ready to hit European targets and we'll be drawn into that if we're not out of NATO? You know, Thursday he's getting out of NATO. I got that. I mean, you know, whoa, we got some news here, brothers and sisters. But I had to first tell you where we are under globalist attack. And I'm going to do that now and then plow into Bill Gates' daughter caught in a supervillain secret society plotting, quote, how to rule the world, close quote. Yeah, it's kind of a big deal. And of course, I told you exactly how they run. Each city and each region is out of key universities that have the control globalist government nodes in them. And that's come out in white papers and come out with the Frank Church Committee hearings and Anthony Sutton's research. But this is smoking gun stuff, and it's because the whistleblowers inside leaking the material. But it's word for word what I've told you. And, of course, she runs business scams and robs people just like her daddy. You have to know where they come from, who the mama and daddy of Bill Gates are. They were the heads of Planned Parenthood and the World Eugenic Society of Thomas Watson. Who was Thomas Watson? He blueprinted the final solution. And then the Israel bashers go, oh, my God, you're saying Nazis are a threat. No, no, Hitler's a great Christian. That's all crap, folks. There's different competing predatory groups. The Zionists were working with Hitler, had a deal to only let Jews get out to Palestine. You need to, these are facts, folks, okay? And it's not that Bill Gates and the globalists are Nazis. The Nazis were one tentacle they created. Then they cut that tentacle off and used that fight for their global domination, just like the globalists funded communism and then opposed it to create a police state resistance to it. This is dialectic politics. This is real warfare. This is true 3D chess. Okay? So that's where we are. That's what we're dealing with. That and so much more here today. But before we go any further, the great folks at Bigly just came out with a deal that is undoubtedly one of the best deals they've ever done. It's insane. One of the most popular items we have is the Shilajit pills. Now we've come out with the tincture. But one of the most popular things has been out about a year, and that's this. And notice the bottle I have. I told them, find me a bottle around here. Oh, they're all empty. This is the last one they found that's opened here at the office because people love these. Look at this. This is Shilajit gummies. It's only about half full because everybody's been eating them. We can't get them out of there. And this is super concentrated, natural pineapple flavor. Shilajit is millions of years old. They don't even know how it's made. It's found in oil deposits after earthquakes in the Himalayas. It's from the Himalayas is the best. And it's got all these incredible peptides that supercharge your body, boost testosterone, your longevity, your skin, everything. It's a super nutrient, and we've got the private label of the best. Mmm. They're really strong and really delicious. But they are very, I wouldn't even call them sour. It's just when you taste it, you're like, whoa, this is very strong. Tastes great. You can suck on these for an hour. I'm chewing up quick because I got to finish the show. Keep going here. Mmm. 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 A couple of these a day. I get them all out of there. A couple of these a day, and you are in like Flynn. Here's the deal. Every order on the site, period. Buy a ball cap, buy a t-shirt, free bottle of this. This is a big bottle. This retails for like $40. We just sold for like $29. This is a hell of a deal. And I asked him, I said, why are you doing that? This is, you know, in our top 10 sellers. And they said, no, I know, but we've been studying marketing, and I know this is true. I don't really study it, but I've heard about this stuff. That if you already have something that's a big seller, for people that haven't had it, you give it to them so they get hooked and get it again. I mean, that's not rocket science. I'm like, yeah, that makes perfect sense. So we're like drug dealers, you know, giving kids their free first hit of crack or heroin, except this is good for you. So I'm like, here, kids, free cocaine, free heroin, but this is good for you. So it's like, restaurants, they're already really popular, but they can do better. Say, hey, come in this Saturday or whatever, and you can get a free slice of our pie and a free coffee. And then they know when you come in there and you see all those other delicious dishes, you're going to end up getting them. So, I mean, it's a great sales tactic. And it's for those of you that haven't tried the Shilajit gummies. They're already a bestseller. Get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com. This is only while supplies last. I said, how much do you have of this? They said, well, another shipment's coming in next month. We probably got enough to run this a week or so. And I said, I don't think so. I said, this is going to be very, very popular. So you've got a week, they think, but they're obviously not going to sell out of it all because it'll be a month till more comes in. So as soon as it runs down to only having a month's supply or so for regular sales, this will be pulled. But I'd imagine it'll at least last 4 or 5 days, thealexjonesstore.com. And there's a big mega sale that's about to end as well at thealexjonesstore.com. And that is, of course, the end of summer mega blowout sale. And you can get methylene blue tincture, methylene red tincture. That's proprietary, really good, the methylene red we develop. For 50% off, Atomic Defense Immune Booster, also great for your whole body. 50% off, Superfood Green Gummy, super concentrated, one of the best out there. That is an amazing deal. Those are 50% off. And a bunch of other stuff like creatine powders, 40% off. Turmeric gummies, Ultimate Chill, our NAD, and more at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you get one item, it should be the methylene blue, but consult your physician before you take it, because it's really serious. And if you're on SSRIs, it can make you go completely insane and jump off a building, or, you know, turn a woman into a complete nymphomaniac. I mean, this is in the medical literature, so I'm just telling you, it has a bunch of mixed effects, but we're talking mania, cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. It doesn't do that, obviously, if you're not on SSRIs, but you take this SSRIs, you might jump off a 50-story building. I mean, the only reason I'm telling you that is talk to your physician, check whatever drugs you're on, because we're not selling games here. We're not playing games here, okay? I mean, one of the crew members, I've given it to over 500 people, and one of the crew members, out of about 500 people, this happened to two people. Three people didn't feel it within 30 minutes, but it doesn't matter because it's still good for your cells and skips the oxidation process in the cells and does a bunch of amazing things at the mitochondrial level. But two people I know, one in this office, sometime I'll get Derek on here to tell the story, he just took a dropper full. So I say take like a third the first time, folks, in case you have a reaction. And he said he thought he was on a bunch of hits of acid or something for a couple hours. And the same thing happened to me, just not as bad. A few years ago when I first tried it, they said, hey, here's their methylene blue, you know, try it. And I said, yeah, I will. So I took it like, you know, an hour into the show with some iced tea, put a dropper in the iced tea, only drank half the iced tea. And then all of a sudden, during a break, I was just feeling all hot, and I saw red on my neck, not like hives, just like it was turning red. And so I ran in the bathroom and took my shirt off, told him, you know, run a promo video. And I was like, what's going on? I feel really good. I feel like this is wild. I'm starting to have euphoria. And I felt like electricity in my fingers. This is what most people feel the first time they take it. And then it subsides unless you take larger doses. And I don't think you want to feel this, but, and it was just like, and I went, oh, they're like, you just took methylene blue 30 minutes ago. So be very careful the first time you take it. Because Derek, you know, literally said he almost lost his mind. So this isn't a game, okay? This isn't a game. And you're like, well, I've tried methylene blue, didn't do that. Me too. My doctor 8 years ago owns a bunch of wellness clinics. He said, you need to get on, you know, whatever USP grade methylene blue. I said, do you sell it? He said, no, you just get it on Amazon. So I ordered it, took it, really didn't feel anything. And then my wife really liked it. So she got a couple different brands. I tried it here and there, really didn't feel anything. And I was like, yeah, they want to sell that. I know it's popular. Kennedy's pushing it. Okay, yeah, I know really. My son is into chemistry. You know, Dad, it's really good. You got to promote it. And then I was like, okay, I'll try it so I can see if it's good. You know, I don't really feel this stuff when I take it. Maybe a little bit of a pep, like half a cup of coffee. And then I was just like, what in the world just happened here? God almighty, as Gomer Powell would say, golly gee. Because it's medical grade out of Florida, and it's the strongest we've ever taken. And we tried a bunch of others that are, we found some others that are really good, but not as good as ours. Get yours now, 50% off, theauctionstore.com. All right, I'm going to stop plugging, but we're in a fundraising mode. We want to hire more hosts, more crew. We got the new studios getting ready. It takes funds, and we'd already be doing all this new stuff. The money ain't there. We got the money to operate right now, but not to shed our skin, not to get bigger. And big fish eat little fish in the war. And it's not like we haven't delivered before. It's not like you're betting on a horse that hadn't won the Kentucky Derby a few times, thanks to your support. So I humbly ask you for your support. Plus, we've got great products. If you haven't tried them, I know most of you haven't, just go to the site, theauctionstore.com. What do you got to lose? You're funding a great operation, and you're going to go, wow, Jones wasn't BSing me, especially with the methylene blue. You want instant delivery? You want instant boom, boom, boom? Unless you're one out of 500 people or whatever, then you're going to feel it. The colostrum, you know, takes a month to really notice, and then, oh, everybody sees that in their hair and their skin and everything else. And, of course, you want instant access, get some of these fun T-shirts, wear them out in public. That's an adventure. If you want instant gratification, the T-shirts and methylene blue. If you want to give somebody a great gift, the silver coins. Got the second round of those in, and when they're gone, they're gone. All right, I'm going to stop plugging. I'm going to stop plugging right now. Start getting excited about this stuff. All right, let's stop. Oh, my God. You know, what happens is I get in here on a news day like this, and all of this stuff is so epic. I'm like a dog in a butcher shop, a starving dog, and I'm suddenly put into a butcher shop, and there's just every cutlet hanging here of exposing the enemy. I mean, this is... It's always like this. The most insane stuff always happens on one day. Every day has a bunch of craziness, but like today is more craziness than last month. Trump says we're leaving NATO. Documents come out that Bill Gates' daughter is in a secret academic society plotting world domination, how to brainwash the public. Actually says that word for word. Huckabee saying Israel slaughtering the Christians and stealing the land and committing terrorism and violating God's laws. You've got the big gamble on the quantitative easing, doubling the monetization of debt and bonds, and that backfiring. You've got insane, you know, head of the Senate clerk running out screaming at Nick Shirley about his penis for 10 minutes straight. You've got more Muslims invading Spain, running around mass murdering, giant stacks of raping, stabbing, killing, total weird, crazy white women there inviting them in and just celebrating, you know, screaming, destroy Spain. Yes, yes, yes. It's all just completely and totally cuckoo town. And then we've just got ex-Fauci top aide pleads guilty to concealing COVID origins in exchange for testifying against you-know-who. There's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff coming together, a lot of planets aligning right now. But before I hit the Bill Gates daughter news and all of that I just mentioned and more, what old Elon Musk is up to, more good stuff. Before I do that, let's just hit the economy. So this has been a very easy prediction that the mullahs wouldn't fall and that the Strait of Hormuz would get closed. And then it would cause mass inflation, starvation, third of the world's fertilizer cut off, and that would absolutely derail Trump's recovery because we knew the numbers and what Trump needed to do. It was doable, but still tough. Not a moonshot, but tough. And it was working. And then we go to this war, and it's super unpopular, and Trump does a bunch of other stuff, like saying the Epstein thing doesn't exist, and flip-flopping on that, and that killed us in the support we've got in the midterms. I mean, it's a disaster. And all the other let them eat cake type statements. And then we said, with the economists and others, the next move will be they won't be able to lower interest rates, which we needed for the recovery. And then they will start quantitative easing again, mass buying in the trillions of U.S. treasuries to try to prop them up. But then the world sees that, because we're not in years past. The debt is so big for us and everybody else that we're at the Great Reset point, and a lot of the globalists want the Great Reset. Trump, at least on the surface, was doing things against the Great Reset. He may have just done that to position himself as a manager to be given more power to let them go ahead with the reset, because he's now doing deliberate things that are causing that. And that's why I've been super pissed. Remember that a year ago they tried to crash the economy a bunch, but Trump made the right moves and stopped it. Now he's making all the moves to crash it. And I've been saying, coming up this fall, late fall, October, November, is when I would imagine things are going to go tits up if they do. I'm not predicting that. I don't want that to happen, but this is serious. And I even said 2 days ago and yesterday, I said, I don't believe this quantitative easing is going to work. It may have a short-term gain. People may buy it for a little while, but then it's going to set in that this is a desperation move. And I predict in the next month or so, we'll see another downgrading in our national credit score by Moody's and others. Standard & Poor's, you name it. Well, here it is. Bond rescue flops, GrudgeReport.com, safe haven fading, dollar at risk, debt tops $40 trillion. Is it that interesting? And this was all very easy to predict. Futures slide as Treasury yield surge, erasing percent intervention driven by oil spike. Yeah, how many times can Trump say the war is over, the straits open, to get oil to go down when in reality it's not? Oh, oil's at $87 a barrel, but by the time it translates to your gas pump, it's like $120. Not reality-based, folks. Fraud. AI manipulation of the markets. U.S. debt tops $40 trillion. How'd we get there? Wall Street Journal. Not a pretty situation. Dollar risk becoming biggest loser from since bond buying. You could say, oh, weakening the dollar a little to get investment back is okay, but not like this. Instead, we're all told it's trillion, quadrillion, God level, beyond God chess, and that the U.S. is in a secret white hat Q level with JFK Jr. in a spaceship above the moon controlling it all. Now what's happening? Treasury yields rebound, wiping out the decline following Bessent's intervention, but now that backfired and those gains have been lost. Walmart posts slowest sales growth in years as Americans tighten wallets. Yeah, the retail sale numbers are flashing red everywhere. Walmart shares slump on weakest sales growth over 6 years. Personal bankruptcy filings are surging as Americans struggle with debt. Here's what I did to avoid one, article in London Independent. And so much more. So that's what's going on there. And here's the deal. You know, the apologists for the establishment and what Trump's doing, they're going to say, you're contributing to this. You're not being positive enough. And I notice the propaganda out of Truth Social and everywhere is just Trump standing with American flags. Trump is king. Trump is Jesus healing people. I mean, like Kim Jong-un level stuff. I remember like making fun of Kim Jong-il and Kim Jong-un because he'd be like, oh, when they come out, the sky parts and it's sunny and the birds tweet and angels fly around and people get healed of diseases. And you see the Kim Jong-un worship propaganda. In fact, have Dan. He's really good at digging stuff up, and everybody else. Let's just give this to Dan. Give this one to Luca Brasi. Go in and tell him you're not too happy with our family. No, give this to Dan. Have him pull a bunch of North Korean worship propaganda, videos, photos of Kim Jong-un and his dad, and then intersperse them with all the Truth Social stuff. And I liked Eagleman in the past, but that guy on X is nothing but pure North Korean. I mean, it's like if North Korea was running Trump's propaganda. And for boomers, some boomers, they like that. But for everybody else, it's like, I mean, I see North Korea worship of Kim Jong-un. It makes my blood boil. But I'm supposed to just sit there and go, I love this. It would be good to have a king. Gee, we ought to, Trump should be a king. And you know, Trump post-postmer, it'd be good to have him as a king, you know? And in 2028, he ought to just stay, you know? And that's the thing to do here. And I'm just like, and you're like, well, if you're not for that, you're for the Democrats. Trump is doing all these things that are helping the Democrats. And I was like, what's he doing a year ago? Does he know he's doing it? Now you know he's doing it. And I'm exposing it. Hopefully he'll stop. But I think we're a day late, a dollar short. Man, doesn't King Trump have a great sound to it? That's what Trump's putting out. That's what his people are putting out. And I'm like, you're a 1776, bro? No, that doesn't sound good to me. But I'm the traitor, right? I'm the commie. I'm the Qatari agent, yeah. I'm the Easter Bunny and a Chinese jet pilot from the moon or Mars all wrapped into one. All right, we're going to move on from that horrible information, but it's just good for everybody to know. At least you know what's going on. We're going to come back with ex-Fauci top aide pleads guilty to concealing COVID origin in exchange for fancy wine and restaurant deals. Wait till you get and of course the big Bill Gates news. It's just so huge. Plotting world government and enslaving and brainwashing you and your family. We'll be back in hour number two. Please share the live feeds of all shows on X and AlexJonesLive.com. Stay with us, please.
Started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
It kind of gives you like a boost of energy. It's not like an energy drink where you get the jitters or like you're just ready for the day and you're never going to sleep. It's more so like it clears the brain fog where you're actually, you know, able to focus more clearly.
You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible.
It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
With methylene blue, I do notice that it does seem to give me more mental energy.
I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it. And let me tell you something, what a blessing.
It is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there. My kids take it. My wife takes it.
Everybody takes it.
what a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Unlimited power!
Am I going to be like that?
Well, I'm like that normally. So.
Yeah, you are like that normally.
Unlimited fabulous power!
Volunteer power!
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Segment I want to hit on. Mike Huckabee, the Israeli ambassador to the United States, U.S. envoy, Huckabee tells Israel settlers not to take Palestinian land and to stop attacking Christian settlements. He called it terrorism 2 weeks ago, and that's what it is, just gruesome, burning things down, blowing up churches, killing people. And he gave an interview that we're about to play an excerpt of where he talked about that. And now you've got Israel bombing Turkish forces that came for an envoy's visit to Syria, talking about Syria joining that alliance, defense alliance with Pakistan's nuclear umbrella with Turkey and Saudi Arabia. The out-of-control behavior of the people running Israel right now at the top and at the bottom is so over the top that even a lot of people that have been supportive of Israel are saying this needs to stop. This is crazy. And you got Israel hitting Turkish forces. They want to face save and say that's not the case, but it's been confirmed by Damascus and the Syrian government. Israel wants to get a provocation going with the Turkish people. And obviously Erdogan does not want to get into that. So this is a big deal. This is a big problem. And it all goes in the Greater Israel Project that Israel thinks the U.S. is going to backstop them on, and they think by merging with our military and intelligence and the National Defense Authorization Act that's already passed the House, they'll be able to do that. Here's Mike Huckabee and some of the things he said. I guess broken clocks are right twice a day, so good for him.
It took a long, long time. Oh, yeah, it took a long time. This one will take a long time. Places. We have so many assets around. We have 1,700 employees.
Well, I think the message is bigger than just even the Trump administration. It's a message of basic civility and civilized behavior. You don't take something that doesn't belong to you. I mean, let's go to the Torah. Let's go to the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not steal. So you shouldn't even covet.
EBO, the embassy branch office in Tel Aviv.
We have personnel that have gone into the area of Kusra and continually monitor what is happening. We're appalled at some of the things that have happened to families who are the victims of just criminal activity that is inexcusable and repugnant. And I think if we're going to be true to faith, true to heritage, then you recognize that if you don't own something, you don't take it and you don't desire it. So if somebody owns the land and they own their house, then having someone come and take it over and scare the family away from it, that's a violation not just of man's law, that's a violation of God's law, and it should be called out as such. We have to treat people, they're innocent until proven guilty, that's the U.S. standard, but if they're proven guilty, they ought to be consequenced, and the consequences could range from a lot of things, not the least of which would be whatever would happen to them here, which I hope would be significant, but the consequence could be that the U.S. could impose not only a ban of travel to the U.S., but could be sanctions, but I haven't heard anyone say that. Now, I would say, first of all, that a lot of the people doing this violent behavior aren't even settlers. They don't live there. They're not part of Judea and Samaria. In some cases, they're known as to who they are. They live in Tel Aviv. They live outside of Judea and Samaria. There are 500,000 Israelis who live in Judea and Samaria, 500,000. The best estimates of the number of people who engage in these criminal acts are somewhere between 300 to 500 total. So that's a tiny number of the amount of people. I don't call them settlers, they're unsettlers.
Let's hope that at some point, whether it's external pressure or whether Hamas...
Okay, so why aren't they in prison? And they're not just, quote, killing Palestinians. That's bad enough. They're calling the Christians Palestinians because they are in what was called Palestine. In the maps before, that's what it was called. The Israel propaganda that it was never called Palestine is pure BS. We call that for thousands of years. And, of course, it is Judea as well. They've been fighting over it forever. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Ladies and gentlemen, Bigley has launched an online pharmacy, 1776rx.health. It's one product we're launching with, my decision, and that is ivermectin with benzidol, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but benzidol is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search benzidol studies. Just put that into a search engine, and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776rx.health.
You are listening to an AJN Live Frontline Report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, this is big news. And for the regular listeners of this broadcast, we're tuning into this Thursday, August 20th, 2026 transmission, now tuning into the second hour, you're going to like, oh, yeah, well, we know this. A lot of you knew it without even listening to my show. Bill Gates has been well known to be a person that wants world depopulation. He's openly said it. They say in 1999 they founded the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Before that, it was the World Population Control Foundation that his mother headed up for Thomas Watson. And after he died, his father headed up Planned Parenthood and was the chairman of their board for decades. And he famously on Bill Maher, like on PBS from the Lair News Hour, he said on that program, he said that, yes, we believe in depopulation. We believe in reducing the number of people. And he said that at a TED Talk 15 years ago. I mean, he said it a long time ago, but we have compilations that I think once we post this live breakdown, 2X and Rumble later, we've done compilations over the years. We'll get a few of those and add those on here. I'm talking about like 10-minute compilations, 5-minute compilations of just clip, 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 clip. Him saying we got to depopulate the third world. We got to depopulate the West. We got to ban your cows because they fart. We got to take everything over. He wants total, total control. So that's what these people are doing. And that is their plan. And you have to understand, Bill Gates was just the little darling that the parents got together with that headed up these big foundations. And they worked with IBM, who'd already been trust busted and already had their monopoly broken up. And they gave the operating system to the software to Bill and act like it was a big mistake of IBM. And then it became the biggest company in the world. And then, of course, it became a trust, and it got trust busted in the late 1990s as well. And then he became a philanthropist and made his money tax-free and went around taking over the national and international regulatory bodies, not just over so-called vaccines, but over medicine in general. And that's how these people operate. So here's just a short clip of him famously, 6 years ago with his now former wife. She left him over Jeffrey Epstein, heavy connections he lied about, saying, yeah, we just shoot experimental mRNA, you know, so-called vaccines, not even really vaccines, Frankenshots, right into their arms, and we have no idea what it's even going to do. Total violation of the Nuremberg Code, and we're about to get into what his daughter just got caught doing in a secret world government operation to enslave and dumb down the population. Wait till you read what's in the documents. Here's a clip.
You know, is there something to worry about with medicines? That is, might some of them have side effects? Do we need safety testing? I mean, and we're taking things that are, you know, genetically modified organisms, and we're injecting them in little kids' arms. We just shoot them right into the vein.
So Phoebe Gates just got caught. It's Yahoo News. It's AP. It's everywhere. A bunch of documents just got released, leaked out of Stanford, that she took part in a secret Stanford course on controlling society, used it to recruit for her startup that's now facing accusations of fraud and mass theft. But that's a weak whitewash headline. Here's what the documents actually say, and it wasn't a normal class or lab. It was elite young people with elite academics and leaders, just like the Communist Chinese set up Confucius centers in all the Western universities. These are eugenics, control, influence peddling systems, and they use people like Epstein to come in and pay people off, sex, money, other payoffs, drugs, and that Bill Gates was using that from the academic level right up into government, right into regulatory systems. So she's now been caught in a secret corporate governmental educational node whose goal is ruling the world and controlling the people's minds. Bill Gates' daughter reportedly took secret Stanford class on how to rule the world. She's Dick Dastardly. He's Adolf Hitler 2.0. Absolutely insane. Phoebe Gates took part. I'm going to call her Phoebe Gates. She has a phobia of humanity. Phoebe Gates took secret Stanford course on controlling society, used it to recruit for a startup that's now a giant known fraud under criminal investigation. Phoebe Gates tried to game the system, but it got in trouble. Did secret Stanford course to rule the world inspire? So the New York Post, others are just spinning it about, oh, she went there to learn how to be a criminal. Well, what are they doing teaching this? And then the media is acting like it's just some college lab or course. No, it's not. It's an elite node, and I'm one of the first people to ever expose this, and I'll get to that in a moment. Bill Gates' daughter took secret classes on controlling humanity. Globalist billionaire Bill Gates' 23-year-old daughter, Phoebe, attended a secretive, off-the-book Stanford University course that taught a hand-picked group of ultra-privileged elite students how to manipulate and control society. Yeah, that's what daddy sends you to. The classes guided students on how to navigate power structures, exploit bureaucratic weaknesses, what's daddy do, steer public opinion, and get what you want from institutions. He spends tens of millions a year buying out the media. The invitation-only course titled, So You Think You Can Rule the World. Oh, the course is called So You Think You Can Rule the World was never publicly advertised. It was unavailable to ordinary Stanford students without a referral. Details of the Gates participation have resurfaced as her startup, Thea, faces a major scandal over internal Slack messages showing that Gates and the co-founder knew the company was using a controversial alternative marketing practice known as cookie stuffing. They were lying about what their sales were to get investment. The revelations raised fresh questions about how Gates approached power, business, and ethics after attending a class explicitly designed around understanding and exploiting institutional systems, governments, and bureaucracy. And it goes on. The Stanford course consisted of just 12 students who met once a week during the winter quarter. Silicon Valley investor and Stanford graduate Justin Lewis Weber taught the program, which participants simply referred to as RULE. Ruling. One former student said Lewis Weber sought to assemble like-minded folks who dared to dream bigger together into the conspiracy. Another student described the course in far more revealing terms. The goal, the student said, was learning how to essentially hack any kind of power structure or bureaucratic structure and get what they want in a system of people. It's more about identifying the vulnerabilities or loopholes, the student added. I think he's less concerned with the ethics of it all and the problem-solving elements. Another participant described the class as focused on the cynical parts of Silicon Valley. The student characterized Lewis Weber as power-hungry intellectual, but really focused on profit and power instead of doing good. And it goes on. And that's all just a whitewash. That's at Stanford, okay, which I've told you. Harvard, Stanford, Yale, UT, the Chicago Business School, and let me give you some inside baseball here. Dr. Francis Boyle, who died last January, when he was about to go testify against Bill Gates in the Netherlands for mass murders of the shots, who came on my show in February and January, in January and February of 2020 and laid out everything that was going to happen with COVID and how it would be the shot that would be deadly and erase your immune system and all of it. He was first in class with two college degrees before Harvard. One of them is Chicago Business School. What do they call that? Summa cum laude or whatever. Not good on my Latin. And so he then went to Harvard and he was selected for a course that only one person teaches and that only one person will be given a PhD in. And he was given that chair at the university, and then he taught it. But he never sold out to them. He never even told them he was against him. He just never told them that he wasn't for them. And then he left and exposed their whole program, became the head UN war crimes prosecutor, and did a whole bunch of other stuff, and wrote the U.S. government biological and chemical weapons laws, and just a very smart individual. And he talked about how they recruit and how they do this into their death cult, into their depopulation society, and then how they teach you how to run all the different criminal nexus points and systems together with synergy. Zbigniew Brzezinski wrote a bunch of books, and I've read most of them, like The Technotronic Era Between Two Ages, and where he describes how this works. So you can actually read these books for yourself. I told you about my dad when I was a little kid saying, when you get really good at reading, you'll want to read these Zbigniew Brzezinski books that were on the shelf. And I did later read them. And it's basically all there as well. So you can basically take these courses without, you know, being Bill Gates' daughter just by researching, because they think you're so stupid they write manuals and books about it, like Bioethics, that big textbook that Paul Ehrlich and John P. Holdren wrote, later Obama's science czar Holdren, how they put the fluoride in the water to lower your fertility and give you cancer, how they break down the family and society. It's all there. But written in 74 is an official level textbook, but only for PhDs. And we've got a copy of it somewhere around here. But this is a pretty big deal, is my point. And the reason you know about this now is you have a bunch of the students that decided to go to the media and decided to say, this doesn't sound good to us. This sounds evil. This is Legion of Doom type stuff. And we think the world should know. Now, I've told the story many times. I've told it very briefly, because most of you probably heard it 15 times. Probably told it 100. But it's a Saturday afternoon. Charlotte, who's 22 now, was like 4. It was a ballet or 5 ballet recital. And we were supposed to go to lunch before it, but I was too busy. So I just said, come pick me up, because the recital place was by my old office, the office before the Infowars office, the original Infowars office. And so my dad pulls in, and I'm meeting my ex-wife and my kids at the recital. So my parents, they're there about an hour early, and I'm finishing up Endgame. And so I'm looking at the last 45 minutes of it, and my parents sit down. And I said, watch this. And it's all about world government and depopulation, how they infiltrate the universities and all the control systems of the Bilderberg Group. So we watch that in silence, and they go, wow, that's powerful. We get in the car. I'm riding with them, and I'm in the back, and my mom and dad are in the front. And my mother looks at my dad and she goes, David, that film can't be accurate. That's not right, is it? And he goes, well, you remember Professor Speer, who was the head of the Plan 2 program at UT. And they went to dinner with him, were friends with him even after this. And she went to UT when she was 18. He started going when he was 14. So you know, he'd been already going there for a while when she came. And he remained friends with him. But my dad said, no, let me tell you the story now. And I'd heard a little bit of this growing up, but not much. He goes into, he's 14, they go, oh, it's a NASA feeder program for gifted kids that are top of their class, and you've been selected to be at this UT Plan 2 thing. And so he goes to UT, and they send him off, you know, around Texas doing really macabre stuff, and working at MD Anderson Cancer Research Facility as an intern in the death ward, the experimental ward. It was like they said, like a zombie apocalypse, basically. And people that had signed over their rights for science who were signing over to basically be killed with all these experiments. And he realized they had him in this just to see if he'd go along with it. And that's why Fauci has them take beagles and take their larynxes out and put them in pits with worms that eat them. There's no science to it. It's to see if you'll do that. And he didn't do stuff like that. It was just, he'd sit there and there'd be like, he told the story of a guy missing his lower mandible, the whole thing been removed with cancer. The guy had signed forms and they come in and inject him with something. And he said the chief scientist was like basically having an orgasm when he was killing the guy. And the guy like died right there. My dad's like, so he goes back to UT and he says, I want another program. I want to do something else. I want to be part of NASA. Then, well, you are in Houston. So it's all mad scientist shows and mingle stuff. And then a bunch of the stuff was secret, but Dad would never tell me what he saw or what he did, but some of it was pretty wild. Secret nuclear reactors, they already had CD-ROMs and computers that didn't come out for, a decade. It was just wild. And later that kind of stuff came out about UT. And, after he told me, he told me some of this when I was a kid, but not much. We go on a hunting trip, he would just say this or that. But for the 20 minutes we're riding over there, he just starts saying, after I'd been there a couple years and gone through all this, and they had hundreds of people in the program. They call in six people and they say, you're the best in the program. You're going to graduate to a new program. And so then I'm going to be meeting with all of you in the next few weeks individually. So they call my dad in and he says, the head of the body department, the head of the Plan 2 program, who was Jewish, I should add, last name Speer. He says to him, now I'm Jewish. And so I don't want you to think more like Hitler, but eugenics is, is real and is a good thing. You see it with plants, that I breed and also moths that I breed and exactly grow. And we're not going to just, kill one group or another. We're just going to go after everybody. And it's the best thing for society and humanity. There's not the selection anymore of apex predators and things, to cull the herd. This is social Darwinism. And we would like you to be part of this secret advanced program that we're going to set up a world government. And we're going to control the people's minds and we're going to carry out this orderly operation. And my dad sat there and listened to it and said, well, I'll talk to you again later. And, later told him, I think I'm going to opt out of this. But they still remain friends. Now, I've told that story since 2007. You go back to all the times I've said it. You can pull it up, have the archivist pull a few times I told the story. And there's a lot more. I'll tell the whole thing sometime. He told me quite a bit more after that. And now you read this. This is exactly, this is Yahoo News, AP. This is exactly what I told you how it works. And it's how Francis Boyle told you it works. So this is a fact. I don't need to believe Reuters. I don't need to believe Forbes. I don't need to believe Futurism.com. I don't need to believe the New York Post. They tried to recruit my dad into this, and it's exactly how it is. It's by invitation, and it's running on all your major universities. And so you need to understand, when these people want you to take a shot, it's because they want to make you sick and then have the treatments for it and then slowly kill you. These are hyper, super predators that believe dumbing you down and killing you is their right because they're the apex predators, and they are fulfilling a niche in the evolutionary system. That's how they teach them. Social Darwinism. Well, there aren't enough wolves or coyotes in the cities where the deer are. They get weak. They get overpopulated. So you need humans to hunt them. That's an argument. Or whatever powerful elites do to the public, they deserve because the elites are in positions of power, and that's because they deserve to be in power. And so this is what the robber barons adopted by the 1860s as their reason for enslaving and killing and hurting people and poisoning people and all of it. And this is their religion and this is their system. And Thomas Watson was the head eugenicist in the world and ran the World Eugenics Society and the World Depopulation Society. And he planned the final solution and the Hollow Earth machines and the tattoos on the people and the forced labor camps. And it was all run by him. And they made a special award, the highest award ever given by the Nazis, that was given to him right before World War II in Berlin. There's photos of him having it pinned on his chest by Adolf Hitler. And then also there's photos of him with Hitler and Edward VIII, the King of England, who was German, and they were going to make him the head of the EU that Hitler was going to set up. So you have to understand all the stuff you see today comes out of that. The Olympics, the Volkswagens, the highways, jet airplanes, all this stuff comes out of this program. But the British had their own program, the U.S. had their own program, and at the Nuremberg trials, the Nazis used public documents of Margaret Sanger and Thomas Watson as their defense and said we were sanctioned by the British and U.S. government to do this, and for a while we're working together, and Hitler was the Time Magazine Man of the Year, and his eugenics were a great idea, and he was on the cover of Gardening Magazine as the wonderful person that had a dog and was a vegetarian and loved gardening, and we were told this was something good, and we were supposed to do this, and we had a secret treaty with you through Rudolf Hess and Hitler, and you were supposed to leave Europe, and we were supposed to put Edward VIII on the throne of the European Union. And then you set us up. And they classified most of that in the Nuremberg trial, but part of that has now been declassified about 15, 16 years ago. And that's mainline. You can read that in London Guardian now. Okay, so this whole project that the Nazis were just a leg of that on the stool, that they were just one tentacle on Hydra's head. And this is the reality. So 5G, GMO, all these chemicals, all these drugs, these shots that aren't vaccines, all of this is these people wanting to get in your body, wanting to make you sick, wanting to suck your money out of you and then kill you. Because they believe the earth belongs to them, and they believe, like, you go in your pantry and you see weevils that have gotten into the grain, have gotten into the wheat, have gotten into the flour, and you kill the weevils. They see us like a cockroach. You see it, you turn the light on, this big old cockroach, you just, you got an instinct to kill it, you little bastard, and you kill it. They don't have empathy for other humans. They see you like a dirty cockroach on their steak. They see you like a pile of horse manure in their oatmeal, okay? You are disgusting to them. They are a synthesis of wicked, murderous scum. Most of this is psychopathic. Most of it's genetic. They inbreed psychos in families for generations. You get ultra psychopaths. And when you look at the daughter of Bill Gates, you are looking at a absolute predator. Look at those eyes that wants to tear you into pieces. But she's passive aggressive, and she does it covertly through the drugs, the food, and the water, and through the other systems. And she's constantly posing as a liberal, and she's so nice and posing with her, you know, black boyfriends and all the rest of this. And that is all 100% a cover for all of this garbage. I mean, look at this. Bill Gates is on record saying his main mission is to depopulate Africa. But then in the art and the culture and the literature, they say, oh, Western culture is bad. Get rid of it. There is no white culture, because they're even threatened by the West that's open and egalitarian and Christian and wants to lift everybody up. They want to bring that down, but they want global government and the ESG, social credit score, to then crush everyone, particularly in real eugenics. They teach in parlor eugenics or outer ring eugenics that we're just getting rid of the dumb people. We're just getting rid of the stupid people. We're just getting rid of the weak people. That's a side issue. In real eugenics, they're targeting their competition and the most intelligent people. Why will a grizzly bear male eat his own male cub? The females have to take him away and hide him. He'll come up and smell it. He'll know if it's a female cub. He won't eat it. Almost every male grizzly bear will kill his own male offspring because he doesn't want to compete for the foraging of berries and salmon and mating with his son. He will kill his son. These royals will kill their own kids for power. And so they make a sport out of it. Of course they're into pedophilia. Of course they're into cannibalism. This is who they are. And you need to get it through your head when you see Fauci or Peter Daszak or Bill Gates. These are the psycho killer grand champions of world history. And you need to understand how this cult works and how they operate. Then you need to understand Bill Gates is the only one of these people of any major stature that is openly opposing their anti-natalist, anti-human system, and at the political level trying to block their actual engines of control, and spoke out against the shots 5 years ago when nobody else was. And I'm not a booster for Elon Musk. I'm just telling you, you don't do the things he's doing and not be real at some level, because he's causing them serious damage. I suggest all of you join me and Elon and others in this fight pro-human. We got endless space and limited resources. Let's end the eugenics crap and go with radical laissez-faire expansion now. You go to the AlexJonesStore.com, you fund this operation, but you also get incredible products. What Methylene Blue does is game-changing. We have the strongest, best medical-grade, pharmaceutical-grade, hands down.
what it does in your mitochondria, how it ups the energy output and cleans out your cells. My body, my workouts, my clarity, my energy is absolutely wild.
How is Alex doing? These,
do you, he's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like, yeah, he's ready for the next
My friend
week.
Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for fucking hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. Hmm. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger.
I saw Alex Jones, and he looks really good, doesn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah, he's losing all weight. Taking back my health.
You're so good.
That's the only impression I could do.
Hey, Alex looks good, man.
Joey
lost some weight. He looks good.
Dude, he looks great.
Yeah.
It is so game-changing. I'm giving it to over 150 friends and family now. I run into two people that had no effect, about 10 people that said they had too much of an effect and thought they were going crazy and electricity shooting through their body.
I feel tingling fingers. Mm-hmm. I feel it in my head and neck, too. Like, when I'm talking, it seems like it's not really me talking.
It's like you're behind yourself.
That is what it feels like, but my brain's going really fast.
The vast majority, clarity, focus, incredible energy. I've talked to friends and family that have been on ours now for about 3 weeks. They're experiencing the same thing.
It kind of gives you like a boost of energy. It's not like an energy drink where you get the jitters or like you're just ready for the day and you're never going to sleep. It's more so like it clears the brain fog where you're actually, you know, able to focus more clearly.
You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible.
It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
With Methylene Blue, I do notice that it does seem to give me more mental energy.
I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it. Let me tell you something. What a blessing.
And you've heard the rave reviews. You've seen them. Experience it for yourself, but it does. For true energy, not a stimulant, but it feels like one with no letdown. I'd only take it every few days. This is too intense of a take it every day. Get yours now. It lasts for days with me. At thealexjonesstore.com, Ultra Methylene Blue. You've seen people talk about it. It's not hype. Our information's not hype. But Methylene Blue, most people feel it within 30 minutes. Some people feel it really like the next day with energy. It all depends on your cells and your genetics and what position you're in. But most people, 30 minutes. It is amazing.
This stuff works, man.
I was having seizures without it.
I started having seizures like a few years ago. And everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene Blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene Blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about Methylene Blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life. I would have been gone by now.
Let me tell you something. What a blessing.
It is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. You know, it's one of the most well-proven drugs out there. My kids take it. My wife takes it.
Everybody takes it.
What a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Yeah!
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at thealexjonesstore.com. Waging war on corruption.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones.
All right, coming up, Robert Barnes, big political insider, super smart, to cover the waterfront, the economy, the midterms, the Democrats, the Tim Pool controversy, the Israel operatives, Huckabee's wild statements. It's all coming up, and a bunch of other news next hour. Then Stuart Rhodes in studio with me. Then I'm doing a special show tonight, kicking off at 6:30 Central. You'll find it on Exit Real Alex Jones. You'll also find it on rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live. The easiest place is alexjoneslive.com. We're going to be getting into all this and new information about the indictments and more indictments coming of the SPLC 3 months ago and then again a week and a half ago of their director,
who didn't just run the white supremacy groups to engage in criminal activity, reportedly, allegedly, which I already knew they did for decades and exposed, but also targeting myself, the Oath Keepers, the Proud Boys, and others. That's all coming out and using the same tactics they would use to infiltrate and then, like, take down the Klan. But they tried to find something criminal we were doing and could never do it. So we got major civil rights lawsuits already going against these people. We're going to add them in. This is a big deal concerted with the DOJ, the CIA. That's all been partially declassified. But tonight, 6:30 Central, that way we can end Harrison's show and have 30 minutes to regroup and get ready. The SPLC is going down. The fall of the deep state top attack dog is here. Please join us and please share that feed. You are the Paul Revere's. But here's a breakdown short documentary with updates on how this group operates and some incredible information. Here it is.
I think white supremacy is, you know, one of the worst things mankind has come up with. Well, I can have a direct impact on these movements.
Heidi Byrick is leader of the Intelligence Project here at the Southern Poverty Law Center, a nonprofit anti-terror organization.
The number of hate groups has been increasing pretty rapidly and frighteningly, really since 2000.
One people, one nation, and immigration!
White supremacists commit far more acts of domestic terrorism in the United States than radical Islamists, for example.
The Southern Poverty Law Center, which of course claims to be an anti-white group, was actually funding hate. The feds say the SPLC used donor money to reimburse Klansmen from the KKK for cross burnings and even their notorious white robes. Can you believe it? They're also accused of paying white nationalists and KKK members to stay in those respective groups, even when the people said they wanted out.
It's also what happens when you listen to the radio host, Alex Jones, who claims that 9/11 and the Oklahoma City bombings were inside jobs.
And a lot of the ferment and activity, the protests, the rallies and whatnot, are circulated around the alt-right groups right now. In particular, groups that attach themselves directly to Donald Trump's campaign.
But Trump doesn't challenge these lies. He actually went on Jones's show and said, "Your reputation is amazing. I will not let you down."
We came up with this idea that we should sue these folks in civil court to bankrupt them. Our hope is that by taking their money away, they can't function anymore.
And that was successful?
Yes, every single one of them has been successful. Obviously, when these groups don't have money, that means there's less violence that they can perpetrate. You know, the whole idea is to not allow them to function.
Today, my understanding is today there was an arrest made, and there is a new indictment that includes the former CFO of SPLC.
I wonder whether it was a result of sort of SPLC-funded agitprop, whether they were able to get the ear of the Sandy Hook lawyers and say, no, there's more.
Well, I know that because they had a guy inside our operation named Zach Drucker who admitted in articles he infiltrated us and hacked into our surveillance cameras trying to find something bad, because we have cameras in the hallways and entrances, and found nothing. But now we've got inside baseball today, and a lot more is about to come out confirming moles from the SPLC insider operation. I have names.
It looks like Alex Jones was right. The bombshell that Kash Patel and the acting attorney general, Todd Blanche, dropped this week was that the SPLC, the Southern Poverty Law Center, the organization that for more than 50 years has committed to fighting for social justice and against racism and against extremism and violence, has actually been funding that racism, that extremism, that civil injustice behind the scenes.
Stop right now.
F-37 was a member of the chat group that planned the 2017 Unite the Right event in Charlottesville, Virginia, and attended the event at the direction of the SPLC. This individual made racist postings under the supervision of the SPLC and helped coordinate transportation to the event for several attendees. Between 2015 and 2023, the SPLC secretly paid this individual more than $270,000. Again, they put in $300K and they got fodder for a lifetime. And you know what? Alex Jones called it. He called it from the very beginning, all the way back in 2017, right after it happened, literally in August of 2017. He said that this was an inside job, as you can see right here. And this was his take.
Charlottesville was mainly a bunch of homosexual leftists dressing up like Nazis who'd all formerly worked for Obama or Hillary, part of their art club, and then they lured a bunch of reporters there and some real white supremacist so the police could stand down and collide them into the folks. I pointed out that some of the same leftist foundations are funding the white supremacists that are funding real white supremacists in Ukraine. I got sued for that. And I said it was all part of leftists coming out to come to this big event and hope there was some big crisis out of it to demonize the right in general and tie us to Nazis.
And, you know, when he says that they were hoping that some crisis would come out of it, it reminds me of that normal political phrase, like, never let a crisis go to waste.
Also, they could demonize us, but the real mission was to find some type of criminal dirt on us. Now, Zach Drucker jacked into our surveillance cameras for over a year and then went and gave them all the footage and did a bunch of other stuff and was interviewed. And there's the articles. There's three of them, or three parts. But I want to play, before we go to Norm Pattis, this short Fox News piece, because this is a small window into this. Right when Trump got reelected, to Cashtel's credit, 1 month after, they said, check your mail. In the mail came a DVD with a bunch of files on it from the DOJ with all of these counterterrorism espionage investigations around the Boston field office going back to 2013, starting with Comey. That's the really nasty office for the really clandestine stuff, like the FBI hit teams with Whitey Bulger used to run out of there nationwide. And the mission was to destroy me.
I want to start off with the FOIA request that we got earlier this year. Done by Chase Geyser, which details an investigation started against Alex Jones back in 2013 as being a white, racially motivated extremist. So this started in 2013, and it was ongoing where they had to approve it every 60 days. They would have to review it and go, okay, we're going to keep this going. So as far as we know, it's still ongoing. It's still on the books.
And we got the FOIA request that the Trump FBI gave to us, and yeah. Kyle Serafin, very famous FBI whistleblower who was in counterterrorism, looked at the codes on the documents. They're heavily redacted and blacked out. Right. And he said it was the Boston office. It happened right when Comey got appointed, 2013, under Obama, and was specifically running an espionage, counter-espionage operation against us, which is what they do when they try to do a dragnet to find some dirt, but can't do it inside of a regular criminal investigation. And then we got undercover CIA admitting and undercover FBI admitting it. They admitted on the stand. The FBI chief counsel in Connecticut went and created the lawsuits against me. So this is all known. The DOJ funded millions and millions of dollars to the groups to do this. That's all come out. You've seen us show you all that, the documents, all of it. Most of you know that Bloomberg and The Onion claimed that they bought us last November. We were shut down and it was a hoax and wasn't true. Remember all that? And the fact that these foundations connected to the Democratic Party with the Sandy Hook families raised hundreds of millions of dollars off my name, claiming I was victimizing them and attacking them and coming after them, and I never did any such thing. And, of course, we had an undercover video, a CIA-FBI operative, Gavin Oblebas, a few years ago, caught admitting that, well, we investigated Jones for a decade at the DOJ, and he didn't do anything wrong, so we went to Connecticut, and we set up these lawsuits against him. That was 2 years ago. And then William Oldenburg, the head counsel in Connecticut of the FBI, got up on the stand during the show trial and said that he went and instituted the lawsuits and organized it all with Koskoff and Koskoff and the families who were running the foundations that were raising the hundreds of millions of dollars off my name. We've already detailed all of that. We put the graphs here on screen. But now, researching this in the last few weeks, we have discovered that in October of 2022, the DOJ paid two grants to one of the Sandy Hook foundations with the main plaintiffs against me that totaled exactly $1.7 million. And then a month later, Koskoff and Koskoff, the law Democrat Party law firm coming after me, put in their bill for $1.7 million for the past few years before that. Incredible. What do you call that? It's a big enough scandal at the DOJ giving grants to the very groups and individuals suing me. But now we have them give them the grant, and a month later they put in their bill that is the exact same amount. They have a name for that. It's called looks like money laundering. Maybe it's just a coincidence. But when you have the SPLC sending people in to infiltrate companies to then feed information to civil lawsuits. That is illegal as hell on so many fronts, and not to mention uncivil. I mean, the lawsuits out of this are just slam dunks, ladies and gentlemen. And don't worry, that train's a-coming. You can hear it around the bend. And when we're done, we hope you're in Folsom Prison. We had the Southern Poverty Law Center successfully infiltrated and did a year-long operation, but the person was compartmentalized just as an editor, and I wasn't sure about the person, so I just said, you know, let him be an editor over there, don't involve him in anything. And then sure enough, hacked into the systems, didn't get much, but I mean, we're talking espionage, okay? So when I tell you about me, and we'll skip this break coming up and give Gerald some time here, I have been run over by the same truck as Stephen Crowder. And by the way, I've been backed over a few times by it too. I'm not trying to keep score here, but let me tell you, they really took the brass knuckles to me, okay? By the way, when they sued me, Hillary Clinton's, one of her operatives from the State Department, they dropped it later. I specifically, that reporter you saw that was posted on Fox News showing me, explaining it was NGOs, in the longer clips, I say Southern Poverty Law Center. They had to have this victory. So they get the Southern Poverty Law Center, who's been caught doing this before, to come in, get a few people from central casting, actors, and dress up, you know, like the white supremacists. Then they've got all the Antifa bust in by Soros and everybody. They're ready then, and the police kettle the normal conservatives, march them through, let them get beaten up for the psyop of the image of conservatives getting beat up and Antifa being victorious. I want to warn you, Kessler, particularly, if you are a Fed, they're going to burn you in the end. So you're in grave danger.
I'm not. Alex, don't spread stuff like that without evidence. Come on, man. Like, at that press conference yesterday, I went by myself because I didn't want to endanger other people. Other people who have worked with me are, you know, they're having their jobs threatened. People.
Why'd you choose a city with a Democrat mayor?
You should see the threat. You should see the emails and the phone calls that I get nonstop day and night threatening my life, threatening my family's lives. And I walked through a crowd of about 100 Antifa and Black Lives Matter to get to that press conference yesterday. I was ready to die, Alex. I was ready to die for what I believed in.
What about Charlottesville and the Charlottesville Unite the Right rally? Were they involved in that?
Yes. So what we allege in the indictment and what the grand jury found is that one of the individuals that they paid was one of the folks who helped organize that terrible event. And so so imagine what we're talking about, Laura. We're talking about an organization that actively came out and just screamed it from the top of their lungs.
So people understand watching this, did these informants in some cases, given the evidence you've seen, actually initiate what would ultimately be these activities? And obviously Charlottesville ended with a tragedy.
Well, we know that they were part of those. They were part of it. Whether they were the leaders or the initiators, that'll come out, I think, eventually.
Because I already knew, okay? And so this is a big deal. So here's the Fox News clips. We'll go to Norm Pattis. I appreciate him holding while we give some backstory here. But here they are reporting on how Obama targeted dozens of conservative groups, including Breitbart. And you see on the map and the document from the DOJ, Congress released this recently. You see InfoWars right up on the right-hand side of the pyramid. So it's in the documents, but we also have the documents from the DOJ that we published how we were targeted. Todd Blanche killed the investigation that Ed Martin was running in the Weaponization Committee operation, but I was told by a big reporter that Todd Blanche wanted to meet with me and that actually they had just moved the investigation and that I should meet with him and trust him. We will see, but I will tell you that I'm talking to the DOJ and the FBI. And you've heard there's more indictments coming. So we have them cut and dry. Not just funding white supremacist groups and getting them to do illegal things is the charges, but also targeting the groups that Obama and then it continued with Biden ordered them to target.
Fox Business, a bombshell new report reveals the Biden administration is using taxpayer money to wage a covert war on conservatives and Christian groups. The Media Research Center, a conservative watchdog group, obtaining documents showing DHS, Department of Homeland Security, is using a program meant to fight terrorists, which includes groups like the Heritage Foundation, MAGA, Fox News, even the Republican National Committee
in
the same
category. Yeah, the Republicans, you know, they're just terrorists down at the bottom. But as you go up towards the more evil, let's put it back on screen. Pause, please. I'm in with Breitbart, PragerU, Proud Boys, Turning Point USA, for destruction. Shut our sites down, take our banking away, don't let us assemble in public, outlaw us. And I'm listed, and we got the DOJ documents. Now we know this lady, who was the head of this operation, the SPLC, she was involved in the lawsuits against me. She was one of their witnesses. She was one of their experts. She was supposed to testify, but they got scared and pulled her. The SPLC put multiple operatives in. That's been confirmed. They've admitted it. It's now under criminal investigation. I can tell you that exclusively by the DOJ. She's been indicted, and more indictments are coming, Todd Blanche said last week. Norm Pattis, that was quite the buildup, but just what do you want to impart to people? This is a pretty big deal. They're running scared right now.
It's a huge deal. It reminds me very much of what happened with the Church Committee in the 70s when the whistle was blown on the COINTELPRO operations that the FBI engaged against the left. During the Proud Boys trial, for example, we had to fight very hard to get evidence before the jury that there were federal confidential human sources embedded in the Proud Boys. And we fought and started to win that battle. And our point was, if this was a planned event, the CHSs, the snitches would have known about it. One night when it was pretty clear we were going to get a list of names in front of the jury, a senior Justice Department official came up to me in the hall and said, "What are you looking for?" And I said, "I want to find out how many CHSs you had on the ground with the Proud Boys on January 6th. Why? Because I don't think there was a plan. I don't think you think there was a plan. And if there was one, all these eyes and ears on the ground would have found it." To keep me from asking more questions and blowing the lid off of that, we reached a stipulation. They gave us a number which we thought was reasonable, and we were able to argue that in front of the jury. I've always regretted that and wondered what it was we left on the table. The job was to defend the boys, not to be a journalist and uncover larger truths. But it told me there was a lot going on with CHSs. When I saw the Byrick indictment last week, I about fell out of my chair. You know, Heidi Byrick was listed as an expert on extremism, and they had tendered her, the Sandy Hook plaintiffs, as a potential witness in your case as an expert. So we took her deposition, and she didn't do very well in my view. So I wasn't surprised that she didn't testify. However, I'm now reading and I've heard from Nick Hasiafatsu, Nick the Hat, out in Pennsylvania, that he's got an FBI source that is prepared to come forward and say that there were sources in your organization, Alex, that were beholden to InfoWars during the trial. And that just drives me crazy. I mean, what happened to you in that trial was unprecedented in American history, in my view. You provided tens of thousands of documents. You sat for hours worth of depositions. People, everyone close to you sat for depositions. The Sandy Hook plaintiffs were never persuaded that you were forthcoming with all the information you had, so they persuaded a judge to grant a default. Who told them you weren't forthcoming? I spent weeks, not consecutive days, but weeks of times over a couple year period at your organization looking for all the documents that I could find. I didn't think that there was more to give than we gave. Somebody told the Sandy Hook plaintiffs that there were, and then they persuaded the judge that there were. The judge defaulted you, basically keeping from the jury the fact that you had complied with discovery, that you had in fact participated in the civil justice system, but instead told the jury you'd been found liable for causing harm. And the result was this eye-popping verdict that was untethered to the facts of the case.
This is the investigation was on that. The FBI and DOJ did not know that the SPLC bragged they had an infiltrator and a confidential human source, Zach Drucker, insider operation, who they did a three-part series with. So there they are admitting they did that. And then we know of another one because of sources, because this guy shot his mouth off in front of people. They don't know how many people we've got just everywhere.
I was talking to journalists behind the scenes, and one of the first things that I said, and I said it to her in this particular article, and I went back and just reviewed it. It comes from September of 2022. I said that the demand for white supremacy in the United States, this is by the political establishment on the left, and then also the sort of hangers-on that go along with it. That demand for white supremacy vastly outstrips the actual supply for white supremacy. And because of that, they have to go to the well, and they have to drum things up, create things up, and it turns out actually fund this thing. So they've been throwing money to the KKK, to neo-Nazis. They were going out there and trying to find out, if can we get something to pretend like Alex Jones is worse than he really is? Can we find something damning or incriminating? Can we say that he's getting text messages that says that he lives in hell? And, you know, what can we do to try to get our donors behind this? And the crazy thing is that the FBI had a historical relationship with the SPLC, which goes back decades.
Once he quit, because I guess they were ready to activate him with his disinformation, people came in and they said, we didn't know what was going on, but I've got like engineers, software guys, people, you know, like Rob Dew, like most of my crew are like liberal hippies that woke up Democrats are mad and aren't like, I mean, these are the opposite. Like the, half the time they're down at the, you know, elephant room watching reggae playing. I mean, these are not Nazis. You've seen my crew. But the point is that this guy literally, once I saw the movie, One Battle After Another, which is another leprous fever dream where the secret wall goes up and the white executives are all really Nazis. That's what this guy was doing the last few weeks or month. He's like, so I want to be let in on the Nazi stuff. I really hate the Jews and the black people, too. I want to get them. And then people are like, dude, we're going to tell Alex your son. What is this? Well, I just hate N-words and stuff. But that's all they had. And they and jacking into our surveillance cameras and trying to break into computers, like they break into a computer and they find the secret Hitler codes or something. It's like they were really believing we're doing this when they're the ones financing and funding the real Nazis. It's insane.
One of the dumbest ones I remember doing, there was a guy that he apparently was going to shoot black cops in Georgia, and he was an active duty military member. We surveilled him for 4 months, maybe, and it wasn't just my team. My team rotated in and out. They had a full-time surveillance team that moved from where they lived, full-time residence for 3+ months on, you know, TDY to a hotel. It's $10,000 per shift to do full-time surveillance like this, and they had 2 to 3 shifts on this guy for 3-4 months. So they spent millions of dollars to follow him around. He was a nobody in the military. He was a E4 or below. I'm going to be kind of vague about it. He had no ability to actually project force. He was still following the rules of his command. And then the best part was they actually sent an undercover agent at him, and the agent sat down with him and had dinner. And we surveilled the meat at the dinner. We had mics in at the table and this kind of stuff. And they're like, so are we going to go kill the N-word cops or whatever? And he was like, I just want to kind of get out of the military and just like go get a girlfriend and maybe a job. He's like, I'd love if like some girl would like hold my hand or something. And they're like, yeah, but then we like kill the N-word cops, right? And he's like, maybe not. Like maybe one day, but like really, I just need to start like probably earning a living.
Incredible. Meanwhile, the SPLC is literally meeting and running the Nazis in the secret meeting. So they're saying we're that, but show the B-roll. They're the ones having one battle after another, actual meetings with the white supremacists and running them. So what they say right. We are is them. It's totally insane. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, it's confession through projection. When you do nefarious, weird things, then you assume everybody else does. In the law enforcement world, sometimes we call it guilty knowledge. I had a buddy who was a street cop for a long time, and he would always try to teach new surveillance agents this. He's like, look, you're watching people for a living. You're sitting in your car, spying on other people, trying to build a criminal case on them, and you know that. So you cannot unknow what you're doing there. But nobody else looks in the car and goes, oh, I bet that's an FBI agent who's spying on me. What they do is they're like, what's that guy there? What's he doing? So when people come up to you and you act natural, you can get away with it. But you always have that guilty knowledge that inside your job is to hide stuff. And that's what these people were doing. They were hiding things. They were doing nefarious stuff. They were running the organizations that they were, or they were funding the organizations they were ostensibly trying to wipe out. But guess what happens if you wipe out white supremacy, Alex? You don't need an SPLC anymore.
All right. Tonight I'm doing a special 6:30 to 8:30 or so. Streams, you'll find it at Real Alex Jones on X and AlexJonesLive.com with Stuart Rhodes, Enrico Dario, and others with even more information on this. It's huge. It could take down the whole globalist system. Hour number 3, straight ahead. Stay with us.
Started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
It kind of gives you like a boost of energy. It's not like an energy drink where you get the jitters or like you're just ready for the day and you're never going to sleep. It's more so like it clears the brain fog where you're actually, you know, able to focus more clearly.
You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible.
It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
With Methylene Blue, I do notice that it does seem to give me more mental energy.
I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it. And let me tell you something. What a blessing.
It is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there. My kids take it. My wife takes it.
Everybody takes it.
What a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Unlimited
gonna be like that.
Well, I'm like that normally.
So. Yeah, you are like that normally.
Unlimited fabulous power!
Volunteer power!
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Robert Barnes connected right now to cover the waterfront. Huge. A whole bunch of stories. We're probably at 10 different angles here in the next hour. And then, wow, the guest Stuart Rhodes has got for us is amazing. Mother convicted for interstate violation of protection order regarding her estranged teenage son who they tried to transgender. He says he's escaped, thinks it's a cult now, but they don't care. She's about to be sentenced to a long prison term. Stuart's going to be interviewing her. We'll be talking to her. That's coming up. Then tonight, 6:30, we're going to kick it off. That way Harris is going to end at 6. We can go down to the other studio, and we're going to do the deep dive on the fall of the SPLC and the fact that there really are these indictments and more indictments coming, and it has to do with what they did to us. It's a real answer to prayer, so keep praying, folks, and keep spreading the word. But right now, let's go to part of John Bound's latest report. Full report's going to be posted to action on Rumble at Real Alex Jones. Flock versus the Fourth Amendment. Here it is.
There's a lot of debate right now about these license plate scanners that are going up across the country. They're called flock cameras. People are worried that the police might misuse them. Have you heard of them?
Yep.
Or what's your stance?
Well, it's being studied right now. You know, you have pros and cons, right? It's being studied right now. We'll have an answer sort of as to our views on it over the next couple of weeks.
In a chilling expansion of America's already exponentially sprawling surveillance grid, networks like Flock Safety have been revealed as the tip of a far more invasive spear.
Where is this place?
I just told you.
I don't know where it is.
Okay, I have you on camera.
Okay.
You taking a package and walking away. Is there any reason why you would have done that?
Nope.
You were in town from 11:52 until 12:09, exactly. Like I said, nothing gets in or out of
can't
the town without
us knowing.
Can't
the cop see she's not scared and know she's innocent?
Yes.
So obvious she's innocent.
See, I need and
here, well, I can show you. And here's when you left at 12:09. That's when you left town. It is her. It is 100%. It is locked in. There is zero doubt. I wouldn't have come here unless I was 100% sure. 100%. It is certain. It is on video. You're obviously welcome to go to court.
We're assuming he had to see in the vehicle at some capacity to see that I looked like that individual, because he was providing nothing else to say, oh, here I see you getting out of the truck, and here I see this person stealing. He didn't have any of that. He strictly had, this is your vehicle, and then this looks like you. Well, how did you put that together?
So this police officer is using flock cameras to argue you committed a crime, and you have all of your own cameras to prove that you didn't commit the crime.
Mm-hmm.
If you watch the Ring camera footage of the woman who actually stole the package, it is 1,000% not you. You can easily see that.
Yes.
A leaked presentation showed the company pitching state officials on integrating live dash cam feeds from hundreds of thousands of Uber, Lyft, and delivery vehicles systems that already generate trillions of high-resolution images of license plates and vehicle details into its national database. Had the partnership proceeded, fixed roadside cameras would have been joined by a mobile swarm of more than 350,000 roaming sensors, filling every gap in urban and regional coverage in near real-time and creating an unbroken real-time map of every vehicle's movements. The constitutional implications of this architecture have only grown sharper. A recent 6-3 Supreme Court decision held that police request for the location of every phone near a given place and time, known as geofence warrants, constitute a Fourth Amendment search requiring probable cause. While the ruling addressed phone data rather than cameras, its logic directly implicates Flock's networks. A single camera snapshot may be fleeting, but a dense, searchable web of linked sensors functions as a continuous tracker of public movements. Records already show these databases are queried.
We're going to post the full report at alexjoneslive.com and on X and Rumble. Be sure and share it. There's a lot more to it. But here's the deal. With AI now, the stuff you've seen, they got even better. Talk to top engineers that you can't even tell is AI. They can also frame you through these systems in the future. And I'm not talking about Flock. It's just the gathering system. I'm talking about the AI itself. So, again, you think Flock's bad? It's just the leading edge of this. It's not the real muscle and the real guts and the real brains. I'm not saying Flock isn't bad. I'm just saying it's only the tip of the spear. There's a lot more behind it. Ladies and gentlemen, Bigley has launched an online pharmacy, 1776rx.health. It's one product we're launching with, my decision, and that is ivermectin with minbenzidol, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but minbenzidol is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search minbenzidol studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists, you'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776rx.health.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Three, and one of my favorite people is a very successful lawyer, but also a lay historian and an American patriot of great integrity, and that's Robert Barnes. He also worked as a Trump lawyer for the 2020 election fraud off and on for a year, and he's been a big Trump supporter until the last year and a half. We've just been honest about it, and I hate to say this because I wish this wasn't happening. We've been vindicated about the war. We've been vindicated about Epstein. We've been vindicated about the bizarre insider trading. I mean, Trump is just destroying his legacy, and along with it, the midterms. And so Barnes, looking at the quantitative easing they did 2 days ago, that blew up and failed. Now, I think we're set to have our ratings lowered. It's already happened once. We are teed up for real problems here, and I want to get your general view of the military accelerations on the threat escalation ladder. Are there any off-ramps? I do see Huckabee coming out 2 weeks ago and saying Israel settlers are engaged in unprecedented terrorism. He came out today and said they're violating the Torah, the Ten Commandments, don't steal, because they're just like road warrior running around burning down and murdering and killing. I mean, it's just diverting all the water out of the West Bank into a private giant swimming pool lake and laughing about it. And Ben Yavir saying, I have crocodiles to feed people to at a torture center, saying I execute people in here and beating up female flotilla people that are bringing in rice. On TV, a fat man slapping women around. I mean, you literally couldn't central. And you've been pretty much pro-Israel. I mean, I would say I'm not ever been anti-Israel, but even you, the last few years have been a vocal critic. Now even Huckabee has come out and said, "Stop it! You're committing sins, and you're going to go to prison for this." I mean, things have really changed. Israel's now the most unpopular country in the world. Trump has said that repeatedly to Netanyahu to stop. He clearly is messing up the peace deals. A lot of folks had thought Trump was just paying lip service to Netanyahu, but I can confirm from high-level sources he is genuinely pissed. That's not giving him any cover for what he did. But I'm really worried that Israel will shoot down his plane, say Iran did it, because Trump's teed himself up for that. I'm really concerned about false flags, because I know one thing about Netanyahu and this particular group of pirates. They don't give up. So that's a basic gestalt on the give us your geopolitical analysis, midterms, how it all ties in. And then I want to shift gears into a whole bunch of other issues with you as we pick your brain here, my friend.
Yeah, the I mean, as you outlined, as we talked about all the way back in April, as we talked about last summer, the reality is that what Trump believed about Iran was false, that Iran was not a paper tiger, that it was not. It came out recently, reported by Larry Johnson and Pepe Escobar on their show Transition Protocol, that the Trump's his other grand plan was to try to bribe the head of the IRGC and all the top generals. Apparently offered them literally billions of dollars if they would turn the country over to him. And he doesn't understand this is a religious regime. I did a couple of Substack articles on the public opinion in Iran that has been detailed by a professor at the University of Maryland over the last decade. And what that showed was the Iranian public was becoming more and more hardline. They increasingly wanted to develop a nuclear weapon. They increasingly thought their government was too soft, not that it was too hard. The government that got taken out in February of this year. So what you're seeing in Iran in the terms of its leadership is representative of its, of what the public is demanding. The public is demanding a hard line, stay with a hard line, stick with a hard line, and to start going on the offensive. The new head of the Supreme Council, the number two, the key advisor to the new Ayatollah, is someone that's always been a hardliner. He was ahead of the IRGC as a 27-year-old kid back in the early 80s. So this is somebody that has a very hardcore perspective. And so what that means is,
veterans of the Iran-Iraq war funded by the CIA, these are, we killed 2 million of them and they didn't stop. These are tough people.
Correct, exactly. And they're Persian and they're Shia. And the Shia religion is built around sacrifice. And the Persian culture is built on pride. It's a culture that you just can't conquer. That almost, I mean, even the Mongols got in and got converted to the Shia way of life, the Persian way of life. I mean, it's just the power of the Persian, you know, they broke the backs of the Romans. Even when Alexander the Greek, the Great, conquered them, he respected them by restoring Darius the First, big, tomb. So that's just who they are. They weren't going to be conquered. You couldn't get them to capitulate. You couldn't get them to, they're not a Latin American tin cup country. You could just go and bribe your way into power. That's not who they are, and Trump kept pretending that's who they are.
And we now know, we now know, you're dead on, that Israel knew they weren't going to fall. This has been declassified, as the Pentagon already knew, and that they wanted a quagmire and wanted to just wreck the region so they'd have cover for Greater Israel Project. And just to back up what you're saying, it turned out their secret agent trying to bribe the generals, this is confirmed by the Pentagon and the State Department now, was Ahmed Dinajid, and then they double-crossed him when a bunch of generals met at his house and dropped a 2,000-pound bomb on it and reportedly almost killed him, and now he has gone and joined them and exposed the whole network. So Trump had a plan that might have, you know, 10% chance work, as Pentagon said, but Israel didn't even want that plan to succeed, though they sold him, yeah, that's a good plan. They wanted chaos. I mean, that is sick. And that's confirmed. That is sick.
Yeah, and basically the Iranian public is now more hardline in support of the regime and the government there and the republic there than they ever have. You'd have to go back to maybe 1979 to find this level of enthusiasm amongst a new generation of Iranians. That's those young kids who make Lego videos, critiquing the West and supporting the government, were anti-government people just a year ago. So that's what we've done. We've hardlined the Iranian public. We institutionalized a more hardline, people in the military and the political apparatus. So no amount of pressure is going to lead to capitulation. That shifts us to where Israel is. Now, the problem with Israel is they're going to be more desperate and more crazy because Bibi Netanyahu is behind and badly behind in the polls for the upcoming election in October. So, and for Bibi, that isn't just losing an election. And for Ben-Gvir and Samotra and all those, that crowd, the Greater Israel Project crowd, they see it as this may be their last opportunity in the next, to preserve their project, because the leading general, while he's a hardline general, he is skeptical of the Greater Israel Project and has previously suggested a two-state solution might work in Israel. So that's who's the likely next prime minister. So in order to avoid that, they're going to try to create mass chaos between now and October. That's why they're hitting Turkey and Syria. That's why they're escalating in Lebanon. That's why they told Trump, you know, F off when it came to Gaza, that they weren't going to honor or respect the Gaza deal at all. That's why they're encouraging the president to escalate, including using nuclear weapons against Iran. And for Bibi personally, if he doesn't win, he goes to prison and likely dies there. So that's why it's going to get much worse before it gets better over the next 60 days. And then you have where we are in the U.S., as General Kane warned him before he went in, but he just ignored it. We have limits on our offensive munitions for a standoff war. We have limits on our defensive munitions for a standoff war. People like Professor Postol have identified there's always been limits to these Patriots to be able to effectively intercept ballistic missiles and the like anyway. Iran is able to rebuild quickly and rapidly, and now they have live-time Russian satellite feed. That's how our Jordanian base got hit. They have live-time feed from the Russians because they're paying us back for all the live-time satellite feed we gave Ukraine to even try to murder Putin and hit Russia.
And I want to get to that and walk through how you see this unfold in the different scenarios, but clearly the Iranians know they have the cards now in the upper hand. Trump's trying to offer him. They may miscalculate and not let him, that there should be some way to get them to make a deal, but they're so hardline, I think you're right, they're not going to, so that could lead to Trump doubling down the other way. But what about Trump not endorsing Bibi for re-election, and now even Huckabee speaking out against Israel? That shows, and the Pentagon putting out reports saying Israel's the number one intelligence threat and security threat to America. I mean, this clearly shows that it's not kabuki theater. Even our own, as corrupt system is, they realize the recklessness of Netanyahu and the tail trying to wag the dog.
Correct. In fact, Kushner went there this past week believing that he could convince Bibi to, in exchange for honoring the border peace deal and withdrawing from Gaza, because he got Hamas to say, as soon as the Israeli troops are out of Gaza, we will lay down our arms and we will let another army come in and another security force come in and secure us. And Kushner's pitch to Bibi was, Trump will endorse you if you will do this. And Bibi said no. And it shocked the White House. But that's because Bibi knows that even with Trump's endorsement, if he doesn't have more chaos throughout the Middle East, his chances of winning are very, very low. That he needs the whole world to be burning up around him for the people in Israel to think they have to depend on Bibi to carry him through. And he might even be thinking about emergency powers that could postpone the election or the like. And so we're in probably the most dangerous period we've been in during Trump's presidency since April, when he was talking about using nukes to end their civilization. People didn't think that's what he was talking about. It is what he was talking about. He's brought it up repeatedly.
Well,
in the
surrogates
White House.
Were all saying, he said, tune in tonight. This is what I think. And it was a whole speech by, Israel's mouthpiece, Mark Levin, about B. Harry Truman drop A-bombs on him. And then you've even had a whole bunch of the other surrogates, including the late Princess Ladybug, Lindsey Graham. So absolutely. So moving into this, what are the different scenarios that go bad to worse? Any real off-ramps? And if I was the evil people running Israel, that's what I were game, they're going to need a false flag or something to blame Iran to try to get us back on board. We have high-level former Israeli intelligence military heads that are Likudniks saying, boy, we sure wish we had a new 9/11 right now to get America back on board. I see that as their ace card. What else do they have?
Yeah, I think the biggest risk is that right now the president is seriously considering the use of nuclear weapons in Iran. And he's been told no. So what Marjorie Taylor Greene reported, I heard from multiple places, and it's been an ongoing issue for 6 months. And previously General Kane has said no, he would even give President Trump the map to show potential targets. Trump is obsessed with winning and obsessed with winning on what he perceives as his terms. The problem is economically, militarily.
Well, let me interrupt you because what you said is too important. Slow down here. And this was purposely leaked by the Pentagon. Mark Levin wanted him arrested, though it came out it was the chairman just doing it, just to try to get Trump to listen because this is so dangerous. They already fired the head of the army because he said, we can't have a ground invasion, you don't have the troops. Trump asked, because the Pentagon has contingency battle plans and battle plans on battle plans, at least 7, 8, 10 levels deep for different scenarios. He asked for the attack plan, the nuclear attack plan for Iran that we have a bunch of, and it was on record. They said, no, we're not giving you the attack plan. Go ahead.
That's exactly right. And now he's back to that. That this past weekend at Camp David, he was saying he wanted to look at what those attack plan would look like. And that's why they leaked it right away to Marjorie Taylor Greene and others, because they're leaking because they know how dangerous this is, how risky this is. If you were to use a nuclear weapon there, there's a problem with the radioactive fallout would likely go all the way through the Gulf countries. you would have an Islamic revolution against you, not only Israel, but against the United States. We would become a political pariah globally. Russia and China would look at it and say, okay, if now it's okay to use nukes, it's okay for us to use nukes.
They'll use them in Ukraine just as sure as the sun came up within days of us doing it. That's what all the war games show.
And in fact, Russian high-ranking intellectuals, you've had some of their high-ranking political analysts on your show, have been recommending this to President Putin now for about 6 months because they think Russia's been too soft.
And Russia has signaled, Lavrov has signaled, that has now ruled the day and is now in the pike. So the next escalation is to give telemetry and guidance to the Iranians, see how that worked out. The Russians are like, well, we don't want to keep escalating, but we're going to start hitting European weapons depots anytime now.
Exactly. And Iran would likely respond by taking out the nuclear facilities in Israel. And that may cause a massive fallout in Israel. And at a minimum, Iran would accelerate their nuclear weapons development because nuclear weapons won't take them out unless you drop all of them. The country's so big. The places like Pickaxe Mountain were literally physically designed and engineered to withstand a nuclear bomb attack. So the ability to take out, or this wouldn't even work.
Plus, we know they're not going to keep the finished weapons there. And the Iranians signaled this clearly. They can put it together in a matter of days. It's like, how fast can mom cook a pie? And now they've said, well, we're not going to follow the last mullah as fatwa. We now say it's okay to build a nuke. So they're kind of signaling like Israel, we got nukes, but we're not admitting it. My intel is they have nukes.
And what it would do is it would accelerate not only in Iran, but the whole world. Because imagine Trump is going around telling everybody how he likes Kim Jong-un because Kim Jong-un has 57 nukes, but he has to take out Iran at the same time. And it's like the message is get nukes. If you want to be safe, you need nukes.
And Kim Jong-un has said repeatedly, if Israel nukes Iran, I'll nuke them. And Pakistan has too. And now, what about the Pakistan nuclear umbrella with Syria is talking about entering it with Turkey and with Saudi Arabia? That's got to be a big deal.
Yeah, it's basically an Islamic NATO, and its first challenge comes because they said they weren't going to get involved in internal Muslim disputes, but they would get involved in non-Muslim disputes. You know, this goes all the way back. You remember from World War One, where they were able to take on the Ottomans because they pretended the Saudis and others that they were those tribes in that part of the region, Arabian tribes. They pretended that the Ottomans were not true Muslims. I mean, that's how they had to go. So you have a pact that hasn't been in place since the Ottoman Empire, with Turkey providing the military manpower, Pakistan providing the nuclear umbrella, and Saudis providing the money. And the first challenge is going to be Israel attacking Turkey and Syria. And so what happens if they actually exercise that defense pact against Israel? Well, it happens if they exercise it against parts of the U.S., because that may happen if the U.S. were to use nuclear weapons. I mean, it has all this cascading, disastrous effects. The problem is, this is the same president who knew about the cascading disastrous effects of going to war in Iran, and he convinced himself it wouldn't happen because his mindset has shifted, his mentality has shifted, his personality has shifted. I assume he saw, you know, what he told Maggie Haberman and the regime change authors and Jonathan Swan. He says he wants to be compared to great Genghis Khan, Attila the Hun, Hitler and Stalin in terms of powerful leaders. And that's not a good place for the president's mindset.
And remember what he said a year ago. He said, since I didn't get a Nobel Peace Prize, I guess you get war. And I talked to high-level people that know Trump. I'll leave it at that. This is like a year and a half ago. They said, you don't understand. Bill Clinton, Bill Gates, and Trump are obsessed with Nobel Prizes, Nobel Peace Prizes particularly. It's a weird boomer thing. And that literally Trump is going, and they're all going crazy. They're not getting them. Of course, you and I don't care about an award. They are obsessed. And here's another point. I predicted months and months ago when this started, I said, Pakistan has a nuclear umbrella. The word is Saudi Arabia paid to have some made for themselves that the Pakistanis hold in an airbase with flagged aircraft piloted by Saudis, and that if it goes to full war or they think Israel might nuke Iran, they're going to move those nukes into Saudi Arabia. That even popped out in the news like 15 years ago. Sure enough, they move a squadron of their planes with 8,000 Pakistani troops at the base to guard the goodies, and then they announce this nuclear umbrella. This is Israel being told. Pakistan said, we'll nuke you if you hit Iran. Pakistan is now literally loaded the gun and put the gun to Israel's head and said, really? Really? Because, you know, the U.S. let us get nukes so we can have a balance of power with China and India. Well, guess what? Now it's a balance of power here. Again, the threat escalation. What do you think BB's thinking? Because if I knew that nuclear umbrella would be announced and predicted it, you know BB and them knew that. What are they thinking?
And the problem is you have a desperate BB and a delusional Trump. You have a King Lear in the White House, and you have a crazy man in Tel Aviv. And that is a very perilous combination at this point, because for BB, this war is this election is existential. You know, he loses. Not only does the Greater Israel Project die, not only does his legacy fade, he and his wife go to prison probably for the rest of his natural born days because his health is deteriorating and declining. You know, the it's publicly reported prostate cancer, other things that he's had to battle over the last 18 months. So you've got a desperate BB worried about his legacy long term and his immediate viability, not only as a political official, but to avoid prison, which he's gone to great lengths to avoid the trial for the last several years. And you've got a President Trump who thinks he's Genghis Khan and Attila the Hun. And so thinks that, you know what, they say something bad will happen with the use of nukes. It probably won't. Just like he convinced himself and made fun of people around his cabinet, like J.D. Vance, that said, look, they're going to close the strait, Mr. President. They're going to hit the Gulf, Mr. President. They're not going to collapse, Mr. President, like Tulsi Gabbard told him. And he's like, nah, you people are fools. You don't understand. It's all going to be done in 4 or 5 days. I see certain people out there pretending still that this is some form of 3D chess. It's not even 2D checkers, you know, what Trump is playing at. And the problem is he's playing at one of the most dangerous times on the midnight clock we've been at in recent memory. Because you combine a delusional Trump with a desperate BB, and you have the perfect marriage for how the whole world blows up. Because to BB's perspective, why not have the whole world blow up if he's not going to win? It's worth the gamble to him. That's the problem, and Trump doesn't recognize it as a gamble. That's the problem with Trump. He's sitting there putting everything on black, and he thinks the dice can't ever hit red. And that's Vance has been trying to get exit ramps. The exit ramp is still there. All he's got to do is execute on the MOU, and Iran, because of the political pressure from Russia, China, and the global south, will reopen the strait, which is the real main issue at this point. But it's Trump.
Well, let's talk about where you see that going and any hope of getting Trump to wake up. We have to try, but if you look at this historically, this is how you get a world war. I believe we're pretty much already into one. And I know Trump said, hey, just give BB a pardon and maybe he'll go. But I know BB reportedly said, no, I'm not leaving. So it's not just that he's cornered. He loves the risk. He loves the gamble. And I talked to Tucker like a year ago, right after Midnight Hammer. I was at his house, or his studio house, hunting lodge in Maine. He'd been talking to Trump a bunch. And then I talked to him again, and he's since talked about the news so I can tell the story. But I mean, I heard it months and months before. And the last time he talked to Trump, like 4 or 5 months ago, right after the war started, he said, sir, it's not going to go the way you thought. This is not Venezuela. And he said, everything always goes the way I need it to in the end. It's going to work out. Basically said he's invincible. And Tucker told him, you're effing out of your mind. And that's the last time they talked. But, I mean, that's what's going on here.
Completely. I mean, we described it back in April of this year. That led to the president making personal attacks on you and others. But it was absolutely true. I had heard it from people months before, unrelated to Iran, that the president basically used to always have positive thinking tethered to objective realism. Expect the best, but always plan for the worst. That's right in his book, Art of the Deal, which I read as a kid. The plan for the worst is no longer there. It's now the positive thinking has become wishful thinking, has become confabulation.
Delusional.
That's how he'll convince himself at a random time period that they are really in control of the Strait of Hormuz, that they can do whatever they want. Well, if that's the case, then why are we there? Why don't we just get out? We got control, right? Why are we escalating against Iran? Why are we talking about nuclear weapons then? But that gives you an idea to disconnect that in his brain on a daily basis. He confabulates things on a regular basis, and the positive thinking has become delusional thinking. To the degree he'll convince himself the bad stuff can't happen. Nothing bad will happen. Only the good will happen. Only the good will happen. And when that was tethered with objective realism, then it was not a problem. It was a good way to think positive things into action. But when it's untethered to objective realism, it becomes exceptionally dangerous. Because you think, okay, I'm going to jump off this cliff, and I probably should land right down there and be no problem. But what happens if I miss it? No, it's not possible that I miss it. And then you end up dead. And then that's unfortunately where the president is. He can use nuclear weapons and nothing bad will happen from it. He can attack Iran and nothing bad will happen from it. He can rug pull the MOU that Vance got signed and nothing bad will happen from it. He can try to murder Putin and nothing bad will happen from it. He can try to bluff China and nothing bad will happen from it. Look right now, Soros Scotty is saying we're going to launch an economic war against Iran. Well, there's only one country to launch an economic war against, and that would be China. Because China's
stay right
the
there. Stay right there. You literally just read my mind. They do the quantitative easing to prop up the bond market. It backfires, and it just shows everything they're touching is turning to pure crap. This is the opposite of the Midas touch. We'll be back with Robert Barnes. Are there any off-ramps? And if there's not, what comes next? Then we'll shift gears to domestic issues, the midterms, and more. Stay with us, my friends, and share the live feed. You're the Paul Revere. Tell folks about the show now, 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 now.
Alex Jones is off the air.
There's a lot of noise right now.
Taking me off the air. It is beyond essential that you continue to spread the word about the broadcast.
That's usually when it matters most to have people in your corner who don't flinch. We've been a partner of this program for a long time.
I'm handing out ice water in the Sahara. The top rated, the biggest company, because they're the best, and he's a patriot.
We're not going anywhere, and that commitment runs to you. With us, it's 8% when you buy and 0% when you sell. And here's something else. After you make your first purchase and become a client, if you're holding metals you bought somewhere else, bring them to us. We'll help you liquidate them. No commission. That's not a promotion. That's just the way we do business. Give us a call and we'll bend over backwards to help.
Visit kepm.com/gold to get started or give us a call at 720-605-3900. And let us help you make room for what matters most.
We have to fight for our sovereignty. We have to fight to protect, again, what God gave us, which, I mean, our health is one of the biggest things. We're all at this point middle-aged. We're trying to have families. And I think with the transhumanist agenda, there is a little bit of a psyop afoot.
Well, I've said that the other day when I had you guys coming on. I said, we're doing something about what we can take control of. Mm. And then the last few years, Joe Rogan, one time at dinner, goes, about 3 years ago, you're fat, your own enemy. He does that to guests. He's like Theo Von, too. Get off that Prozac, you idiot. And people were mad at him. That's tough love Joe does. And he's there with Sean Johnson, the Navy SEAL guy that I'd known for years, but didn't really wasn't really friends. Sean goes, fine, I'll train you. I'll meet you every morning. And I said, all right, let's do it. And then I lost like 70 pounds, and I kind of halfway cut back and gained back 10, but now I'm back to where I was. I'm going to go even lower. But the whole point is that Joe goes, you know, you're your own worst enemy. You think the globalists are going to kill you. You're killing yourself. And so that's where Masterpiece comes in. That's where doing all this comes in. I mean, this is real, folks. Methylene blue works. Bovine colostrum works. This, getmasterpiece.com. The Masterpiece is unbelievable.
We are at a crossroads with the survival of the human species. And the people that have all the resources and all have spelled that out very clearly to us. And the things that they are putting inside of our body to complete that, mission. You got to get out. The fact of the matter is, zeolite, which is one of the main ingredients of Masterpiece, has been proven in all ways to remove every toxin that it's looked at grabbing. It performs. That's why it's called the Master Binder.
But yours is different.
Completely different.
Because it doesn't just pull stuff. It brings in the key C minerals.
Yes, absolutely. So any way that you would actually test Masterpiece out, which would be like its pH, its molecular composition, its molecular ratio, if it's isotonic and whatnot, it is identical to blood plasma. You're talking about marine plasma, sea plasma, minerals. It is the same molecular composition as your blood profile. And so why does that matter? Blood is life. When you are grabbing the problem with our bodies, with the toxins in there, which is disrupting how our bodies perform on every level, it's literally made our bodies mineral deficient. Toxins take the place of minerals. So when the Masterpiece is carrying in minerals, when it takes a toxin, it's giving the perfect minerals right there at that time. That's why everyone that looks at the testing, whether it's our hair tissue mineral analysis practitioners, our blood testers, which we've done three different independent third-party labs doing different blood testing, they've never seen results like this.
Yeah, so regular zeolite just pulls out bad stuff and doesn't replace it. This is zeolite with a good thing, pulls out bad, it goes bloop, good.
Yeah, yeah. Our bodies are magical if you get the poisons out.
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
We
waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones.
Look, ever since I was a little kid, I just thought history and architecture and war and space exploration was really interesting, so I got into adult books. And I got into textbooks and, you know, PhD level stuff. And I guess that's genetic because most of my family on both sides is like that. And then I sit here and Barnes is like me. In fact, he even knows a lot more than I do on many subjects. And for those of us that are immersed in all this, it just, we know how disastrous all this is. And it's a total consensus in U.S. intelligence, total consensus in the Pentagon, except a few maniacs, you know, like Hegseth, who's a likable guy, but he's a complete maniac. And I don't think that's smart at the end of the day. Or he certainly just is committed to this. And it's very dangerous. And when I sit back and I think about how truly deadly all these developments are, I have to pinch myself because I go intellectually, I'm not being emotional. These roads all lead somewhere from bad to worse, absolutely horrible. And now 175, how many days are we in? Let's put it on screen, to this war that is a big war that's out of control and now a regional war and linked up with the Russia-Ukraine-NATO war. So that's a world war and it's having economic effects all over the planet and mass inflation. And then it was predictable they wouldn't be able to lower interest rates that Trump needed in his plan that would have worked. And then it's predictable it's going to cause major fertilizer problems and energy problems and bake in huge inflation that will make sure we don't have the recovery and we go into the great reset that makes BlackRock so happy. And then all the lights are flashing red and you have people pulling out of the U.S. dollar, pulling out of U.S. treasuries, mass monetization. Now started 3-4 days ago. It works for about a day and then backfires because people see how weak the dollar is, which I predicted. I mean, we're down to the end of the road here. And then Trump with all these fake announcements, the war is over, oil's going down. That worked a while, but that's like, you know, I had a buddy, I had surgery when he was like 33 years old and he got infected. And then I was at the hospital, took him 3 days to die from the infection. All of it failed and his dad was driving down from Dallas. And so they said, can you just keep him alive until his dad gets here? And he died before his dad got there. He walked in like 5 minutes after he died. And I'm sitting there with my best friend growing up, Ryan, and the nurses are hitting him with adrenaline every 20 minutes. And he'd be in a coma and he'd come out. And I'd say, you know, keep fighting, whatever. And then finally they hit him and it didn't work and boom, he was dead. The nurse said, he died right there. And that's what Trump's doing. He's injecting adrenaline. It ain't working no more, folks. And then all these idiot apologists who get the talking points. And you can see they all blurb it out at the very same time. They're getting paid by Israel. They're getting paid by subsidiaries. They're not even thinking. But the people up above them are, and they're just trying to sleepwalk us into full war. This is megalomania. This is totally insane. So what do you make of the economics? This has got to wake Trump up. We know it's one of the one things that has gotten to him where he's blown up. People said, you got to open the strait. Well, you're the one that went in there. Now they say the goal of the war is open the strait. It was open before. So as this dawns on him, as this economic disaster that's now here, we don't have to make the prediction. It's now here. Is there any way for him to off-ramp here?
I mean, there is. I mean, Vice President Vance has got an off-ramp like 7 different times during this. He got it in late March. He got it in early April. He got it in May. Got it in June. Got it in July. Got it recently in August. And the off-ramp is just execute on the what Trump himself just was before he rug-pulled the MOU set. He said, look, it's really Iranian money. We can't keep it forever. He said sanctions backfire on the U.S. economically because it makes the whole world not want to use the financial rails of the U.S. economic system, which we're seeing blowback on right now. He said that if he didn't get out, that he was going to end up like Herbert Hoover and have a global economic disaster. If you use the confession through projection filter on Trump, what he said yesterday about, you know, economic destruction, he's talking about himself. He's saying he's had every opportunity to get out and has refused. He's had every opportunity to do a deal and he's refused. We're at the ones at risk of economic D-Day. Iran is a self-sufficient country in terms of food and fuel. And what that, and for a lot of manufactured and essential goods, they believe in sacrifice as a sign of how religious and spiritual they are. They would rather eat dirt than capitulate. So all we're doing is hurting ourselves. We're like Europe that keeps punching itself in the face and say, look, see, take this, Russia, and punches themselves in the face again. And you look at what's happening financially. So usually the taco index, which the Deutsche Bank and others developed, would say Trump would have already tacoed by now. Because if is the 10 year over 4.5%, is gas at the pump and over 4, is diesel at the pump over 5 on average, and is Trump's approval rating in the 30s? Well, he's at 33% approval and falling. The gas is over $4 a gallon on average. Diesel is rising and rising to some of the highest rates it's ever been. And diesel is essential to the entire economy, to the farming economy, which is already being hit globally because of the lack of fertilizer that came out of the Gulf. You have the UN, you have other groups that are just food groups that say the world is about to face a global food crisis of massive malnourishment and starvation in large parts of the world in the next 6 months. It is a great reset, kind of agenda. So we want to avoid a great, and then you have what's happened with the Japanese yen carry trade. Because Japanese interest rates were so low, many people in the West borrowed in Japan to invest in America. What happens when those interest rates go too high and all of a sudden you have to unwind the yen-dollar carry trade? It means a whole bunch of money comes flowing out of the markets overnight. You got AI facing what looks like a bubble to a lot of people that have been looking at it. That AI isn't delivering what it promised. That's one issue. The second issue is the money never worked. They got all this circular financing.
And the debt's coming, and the debt's coming due, and people aren't investing to prop up the old debt. The Ponzi scheme's going down.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what Bessin tried to do in bailing out Japan in order to bail us out, unwound within a week. And now his bond, his effort to get the 30-year back down that he did yesterday, it didn't even work 24 hours. Because here's the other problem with Trump and Bessent and Wright constantly lying to everybody and gaslighting everybody, saying, oh, yeah, all the oil and gas is secretly coming out. Oh, yeah, it's all going great. You know, you got the Tim Pools of the world running around saying, hey, it's 4D chess and we're going to control the oil and energy supply. It's literally just the opposite of that. But the problem is, what happens when the markets start to discover and fully realize that they can't trust anything Bessent says or does? That they can't trust anything the Fed says or does. That they can't trust anything Trump says or does. All of a sudden, the ability of the market to hold, because most the Fed is mostly a propaganda machine meant to trick the market into doing what it wants. Same with Soros Scotty. Same with what Trump has been doing. When the world realizes that they can't be trusted, all of a sudden we lose that entire economic capital. And things can unwind fast and rapidly. And that's where we're headed. Where we're heading, we have a diesel shortage globally. We have a jet fuel shortage globally. We have a fertilizer shortage globally. We have a helium shortage globally in ways that will take years to put back together.
So what is Trump going to do now that he knows we were right and this is totally destructive? He's already been upset. I know you say there's probably no off-ramp, but all the other experts I talked to say that. So then Israel gets its total war. They start nuking. Pakistan nukes them, and it's the end of the world.
What I've recommended is play into Trump's delusion to the people around the president. Say, you're right, Mr. President. You won so big. What we got to do is just withdraw the troops, withdraw the blockade, because that will force Iran to reopen the strait. And you won big, and that will be confirmation you won big. And that's what Vance is advising. That's what Kane is advising. That's what Elbridge Colby is advising. That's what some people in the second tier levels beneath Ratcliffe and Rubio are advising. Ratcliffe doesn't want any responsibility. Rubio doesn't want any responsibility. Hegseth runs around saying, I'm out of central casting. I'm out of central casting.
Yeah, they keep saying Rubio's so presidential. He's the State Department head. He's been hiding, either not endorsing or fighting it like Vance. Disgusting behavior by Rubio.
I mean, he's the worst Secretary of State I think we've ever had, and that's saying something because we had Hillary Clinton as a Secretary of State. But look at it. Every time he gets close to a war, it gets worse. He doesn't negotiate a deal. He hasn't done one single deal on trade or war that actually got confirmed into law the whole time he's been Secretary of State. He told the president that Bibi was BSing him before the war and then turns around and runs cover for Bibi after once the war gets going. So the guy's a complete coward. He literally likes the tap dance. So he loves the tap dance politically. He'll be anything he needs to be to anyone he needs to be. But he's in the pocket of the deep state, in the pocket
of the
Israel
lobby. Well, I've watched him in interviews that really aren't political, and all he talks about is, like, women's musicals and, I mean, some pretty candy-ass stuff. So I think that's where
that's right. Remember, you had that famous interaction with him up in the Capitol when he was trying to BS his way out of the censorship that was taking place and pretending it wasn't. That's who Narco Marco is. Whose family got wealthy and successful because they were literally in bed with the cocaine cowboys. That's who his sister married, was one of the famous cocaine cowboys. It's that old Cuban connection. But speaking of other risk, Alex, I think they've created like an Operation Gladio Cuban-style refugee-type army with the Ukrainians because they're showing up with all the false flags. That's who's connected to Israel doing false flags. And according to Professor Morandi, that's who did the false flags in Iraq against the Kurdistan leaders and against Saudi Arabia. There's discussions that they may be responsible.
They were trying to stage the attack on the Egyptian port.
Yeah, exactly. The attack on the Egyptian port that they may be connected to India outed them. Because, I mean, what they did is, Ukraine is a perfect place for the CIA to put together a bunch of corrupt, crazy, neo-Nazi. Remember, they combined them. They were recruiting mercs from the drug cartel.
Yeah, it's Operation Mongoose Crew 2.0.
Exactly. You combine Operation Mongoose with Operation Gladio, throw it in Ukraine, add in some drug cartel soldiers, add in some of the radical Islamists. Both of whom have been recruiting people in Ukraine, and all of a sudden you've got a portable deep state army to create false flags all around the world.
So look at the shooter was clearly out of a Ukrainian cutout at Mar-a-Lago, and then Trump didn't want that investigated. Or Butler, what do you really think of Butler happening now that we now confirm Trump killed an investigation of that? Because I don't know how you stage something looks that real, but why would he then kill an investigation?
April of last year is when things started to switch. Because, like, you look in the people that think Trump had already agreed to sell out last year or something else. Problem with that is he puts Tulsi Gabbard in, he puts Joe Kent in, he puts J.D. Vance in.
No, clearly the change happened in April, May. Yeah, that's
exactly. Remember, and that's when what the tip off to me was not the Epstein files going AWOL. It was in that same interview, Bongino running cover and saying nothing special happened in Butler. And I was like, whoa, hold on a second. Butler's never been explained to us. This guy looks like a Manchurian candidate cutout. He had, like, what, 8 phones? He had all kinds
his
of
house
secret
got,
accounts.
His house was cleaner than a surgical room, absolutely. Well, you got to come back again soon. We got to do a commercial-free show. We got, like, 15 minutes left. If you do 5 more minutes the next hour, and the Stuart Rhodes is coming in with some big news. But I hate to even talk about myself, but this does feed into the bigger picture. So if I was another host, I'd be covering this right now. What do you make of the SPLC new indictment of their intelligence head? How, from our sources, it's confirmed they are under investigation for what they did to us, moles, all the rest of it. And then Tim Pool literally saying, I don't know why Alex Jones attacked me when he came out when they had a glitch on X and everybody's numbers went down. He said, oh, look, Alex Jones doesn't have any more audience because he's not, you know, pro-war and pro-Trump. And I just said, that's an Israeli talking point that I've seen by thousands of other bots. And I said, you met with Netanyahu secretly. Then he goes, no, I didn't. I always said I met with him. No, after it came out, he met with him secretly. Then he said, yeah, I did meet with him, but the details are secret. And then now he put out today, he said, I know Alex Jones got the call. I know he's on the payroll. Doesn't say who. So I said, are you on the Israeli payroll or somebody affiliated with it? He is now, and I'm not saying I'm going to do anything to him, but he's like literally now defaming me, saying, no, I know you're on the payroll to do this to me because I exposed the vaccines. A bizarre statement. What the hell is, because how does this all tie together? Because, I mean, look, I only singled him out because he's one of the bigger people that is putting out exact Israeli talking points. Do I know he's doing it for money? I don't know. But Netanyahu singled him out, met with him in secret, and only got exposed by the Israeli papers, so he then disclosed it, and he's playing this dumb game with his viewers and listeners that, oh, no, I'm the one that told you about that. I mean, this is wild.
Yeah, I mean, I think what you have is, Tim Pool's kind of an exemplar of a bunch of people that came up in what you could call sort of the normie influencer space on the right, who associate their rise with the rise of Trump, not realizing the rise of Trump was the ideas that Trump was advancing. It wasn't some cult of personality constricted to Trump, that Trump would have never been president if that was all it was about. It was instead about the support for the ideas and breaking up the system that Trump was promising. So this is my argument with Steven Crowder and others, because I see a lot of people, the Quartering, Jeremy Hambly and others, that they seem to think that it's Tucker Carlson creating the division. It's like, no. What happened is Trump is his decisions are creating the division.
It's Tucker and getting off a burning ship. He's not having fun. He's totally freaked out. So are we. We brought Trump in. He went sideways. Exactly. They're saying we don't have any power, Tucker Carlson, myself and others. But we're going to lose the midterms for them. No, you guys, all this behavior, that's what the polls all show. It's what all the good pollsters that have been pro-Trump say. It's not us, dummies, but they know that. Let me tell you, Israel Knesset, $1.3 billion in the last year and a half. That's what we know of. Where is that money going? And you see these people all saying the same thing at the same time. Bob, come on.
Well, exactly. So, yeah, part one is you've got these people that don't understand cause and effect. And that want to blame people for just pointing out the effect of Trump's bad decisions causing the division. If they don't want the division to happen, they need to be critical of Trump because they need to course correct Trump. Trump is the only one that can fix this. Nobody else can fix Trump for Trump. Trump's got to be the one.
He's driving the ship. He's about to run us on the rocks. Already hit a bunch. We're telling him, please turn the wheel back the other way. And they're mad at us not wanting to go on the rocks.
Exactly. Then the second thing you've got going on is you have a lot, some of these people that didn't know where to, your Benny Johnsons of the world, you know, some of these people didn't know where their support came from. So they're like, oh, they like the access. In some cases, it may be money. I mean, we know that the Israel lobby is helping to buy off Salem Radio and helping to influence people behind the scenes without them knowing it. When I see Brandon Tatum suddenly become a geopolitical expert, I get a little skeptical. So the so I have no doubt.
I was about to say, I mean, look, I watch these guys, and they'll all come out at the same time with the exact statements. They'll put the tweets out that is so it's coming from somewhere.
Oh, correct. And I know people in Tim Pool's camp that say, you know, about 6 months ago, he changed his, he used to be committed, consistent anti-war, and now he's not. And people are like, why? Why are people that used to be anti-war on his show?
Oh, then they spin and say he is anti-war. I could, my crew sent me these clip after clip of him attack dogging anybody that's against the war, anybody that criticizes Israel mildly. So that's a load of crap. Notice though, he won't even be honest that he attacked me. He goes, I don't have any idea why you attacked me. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
The gaslighting is, I mean, I've been hearing, I mean, also some of these people, you know, we've talked about it before. The two things that break people are everybody knows about stress. They don't realize about success. We've seen it, you know, I've seen it many, many times. Law, politics, culture, Hollywood, et cetera. Often people, things get to their head. And at least with, in the case of Tim, Tim Pool, I've been hearing from ex-employees now for the last 2 years about him firing people if they put him on maternity or maternity leave, that firing people if they just try to become independent, threatening people with, you know, that they have to sign non-disclosure agreements, that they have to keep things secret about weird stuff that's happening there. This is the behavior of someone that got a little too big a little too fast. And it's the
nature of success. Well, I'm not trying to be mean to Poole, but he was down here a few years ago when Rogan came on his show with me in the RV he brought. It was kind of fun. He's a likable guy at some level, but you pick up, it's kind of an act, or you kind of don't want to turn your back. And we're sitting out there in the parking lot. He'd been there a few days, and he's like, we'll be taking over. We'll have thousands of shows. We'll be in all the stores. We're going to be the number one media in America, Alex. And, you know, you may have thought you had some success, but you're about to see what it is. And he had no idea how arrogant and bizarre it was. And plus, I'm not trying to even be number one on how dangerous it is. I'm just like, yes, Jack. Like Dr. Strange, like, yes, Jack. Yes, Jack. So, yeah, serious power trip. Serious power
trip. Yeah, and I think that's what's happened. And the problem, well, the reason why I went public on some of those things that agitated him, and then he was suggesting that I was making it up. No, I wasn't making it up. I got the receipts. But it was because some of these people are using their stature to, like, take in Tim Pool's case. A lot of people that work for him are really young. Their kids are idealists. They think if they say anything, Pool can crush them in that business. And I don't like people who get that way. And there's no reason to be that way. These are nice, idealistic kids trying to make a difference in their own way. He's got to treat them like human beings, not disposable, detachable assets he can throw away. And that's universal to anybody and everybody.
Yeah, and I don't like to spend time on him. Like you said, he's kind of emblematic. And so I was already mad at all these talking points and me saying, hey, there's a glitch on X, which they fixed. And then all the known bots coming in, oh, it's because you're unpopular. Everybody hates you now. The war is popular. Israel's wonderful. You're an evil Nazi. And then he joins in and says, yeah, you're not popular because you're not for Trump. And I just saw as a piling on, I'm like, screw you. I'm going to bring up the fact that you got Russian money and you met with Netanyahu. He called you and then you kept it secret. So watch your mouth, punk. And now he's like tripled down that I am on a payroll, won't say what. Pretty defamatory, Bob.
Yeah, exactly. And to be honest with you, he's fading out. You know, I never really tuned in him to watch geopolitics anyway. But he's starting to fade, and I think that's another factor in the equation. And so I think what you see is what's happened in this division is a product of what Trump has done, and then it's being amplified by the Israel lobby crowd, but amplified by groups like Southern Poverty Law Center. We've been identifying them as a cutout now for 20 years. This goes all the way back to Oklahoma City. They had undercover informants that helped instigate what happened at Oklahoma City through their contacts at Elohim City. And this included connection to Aryan gangs that broke out of prison.
Well, Karen Howell was the ATF informant.
A bunch of robberies.
And she said,
it was connected to
she said they run the white supremacists and they basically bombed the building. And that was the FBI.
Correct.
And
for people
informant.
That didn't know the background, I mean, Morris Deese was a Klan lawyer who realized there was more money shaking down old Jewish mamas in New York City pretending to bankrupt the Klan than there was in the Klan by the early 1970s. He loved to sexually harass everybody, too, and everything else. He's got all the other problems because that's who these guys are. And they've been running fake hate organizations for years, and the in order to launder money to create fake bases.
And now you've got their intelligence head indicted, sending herself reportedly millions and her KKK Nazi boyfriend live in. So they're putting out movies about mainline libertarian talk show hosts are secretly Nazis in underground bunkers in one battle after another. And in the real underground bunkers, they're not just funding the Nazis, they're having sex on the desk with them.
Well, it's basically confession through projection. You remember all the people that were pretending that you were the character of the Homeland show and that you were the ones that was fake and you were the ones that was making stuff up? That's what they're doing. And that's what they've been doing. And they've been doing it to disastrous effect now for a while. We suspected there were connections to what happened at Charlottesville, that things that happened there didn't quite add up.
Well, remember, they sued me for saying the Southern Poverty Law Center ran that, and it came out they did.
Correct, exactly. And then, of course, now all of these are crimes. These are because they have to lie to the banks. They have to lie in terms of to get the money, to spend the money.
Wire
they
fraud.
Have to lie in terms of, yeah, getting the donations. So you got wire fraud, bank fraud, mail fraud. Some of us have been telling the government to bring these cases for years, and they're finally bringing them. And I have no doubt if you
That's
really
why I love
dig
you.
Into Southern
My next
poverty,
question is, why is Todd Blanche doing something good here? Why is this suddenly happening?
It's twofold. One, there was career prosecutors in the Middle District of Alabama that wanted this case brought back in Trump's first term, and Bill Barr corruptly shut it down. So as soon as Trump came back in, they got it back up and rolling. And Pam Bondi was sitting on it and was trying to slow play it to cut a deal with the Democrats to allow her to be wildly corrupt. And when Blanche got in, Blanche just didn't stop it anymore. And is letting them
That's
run
That's exactly
their own
what
shop.
Kyle Serafin knows the guy's running it. And they said, no, they just let us do our job. That's all. And that's why he said positive things about Blanche. He said, I know there's a lot of bad, but he said, I talked to the field offices and they're like, Blanche is turning them loose.
Yeah, he's mostly not interfering. And that's going to be the key. I'm a little nervous that he got approval by the Senate, that maybe he cut a deal behind the scenes with them to say the Clapper case, say, doesn't go forward or something else. But look at what's coming out about Comey. Comey knew about that what he was sending out was a message of 8647. He meant it to be interpreted as a call for assassination. And he was trying to hide and suppress that evidence. So I hope they go forward with the deep state prosecute. It's great the Southern Poverty Law Center is being prosecuted. Hopefully they keep going because it reveals a whole system. It's not limited to the Southern Poverty Law Center. A lot of these fake NGOs were infiltrated
ADL.
And were fronts and proxies for informants and for intelligence agencies to stage events in the United States. I mean, this goes all the way back. I mean, we remember talking about it when it came out. The Operation PACCON was Southern Poverty Law Center was essential to that, to gin up a fake violent militia movement in the U.S. as justification for the FBI to create its own form of
Viper
surveillance
militia,
state that led to Ruby Ridge,
all
led
of
to Waco, led to all that.
Stay there. Do 5 more minutes with me. I go 5 hours with you. We love you, Barnes. People need to follow you. We'll put you up on X right there, Barnes_Law. And, of course, tell people where else they find your shows.
Everything they can find at Viva Barnes Law. Locals.com.
And there they are on screen, Barnes_Law and VivaBarnesLaw.locals.com. All right, we're going to break 5 more minutes with him, and Stuart Rhodes coming in with huge news. I've got so much more. But, hey, huge sale right now. This is only going to go for a few days. A free bottle of pineapple natural-flavored Shilajit gummies. Not a sexy name, does sexy things. Full of all these incredible natural peptides that supercharge your libido, stamina, energy, known to boost testosterone. We've got the best Shilajit out there. We have it in liquid tincture now. We have it in capsules, and we have it in the gummies that are so delicious. This is a huge bottle of these. This is like a $40 value free with every order. You buy a ball cap, a t-shirt, a bottle of ultramethylene blue, whatever it is at theyellowshieldstore.com and get a free bottle. Even though this is one of the top 10 bestsellers, they want to do it because they want those of you that haven't tried it because it works so good. You feel energy within an hour, but what it does after a week or so on it is amazing. No one even knows where Shilajit comes from. I'm not going to spend an hour describing it. Go research Shilajit. It is weird. The best stuff comes out of the Himalayas. They'll have an earthquake up there at 20,000 feet. It's ancient oil deposits that diatoms grow in. It creates all this super nutrient. It's wild. I'm on Shilajit right now. Get a free bottle with every order, period. Whether it's a silver coin about to sell out, we got that final shipment of those. You get a free bottle with everything at thealexjonesstore.com. And don't forget, get medical grade, pharmacy grade, minbenzidol and ivermectin combined at 1776rx.health. You're all talking about minbenzidol and ivermectin, not just for parasites. Get yours now at 1776rx.health. Hour number 4, straight ahead in 2 minutes. My fellow patriots, The first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts, go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when. Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A. by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Online merchants, this is the place for you. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Coming in, he's got a huge guest on with us. His mother's facing years in prison trying to save her son from being transitioned. But Barnes, during the break, you said you want to give one big final message on the economy. What's been set up above even Israel? You got BlackRock and the globalists, one of the great reset. You did a great boil down during the break. Will you repeat that, please, for folks? Because I totally agree with you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what is it? The war is, it may be the trigger or the spark for an economic collapse and a quick the opening up to the risk of a great reset type global economic agenda. Because, you know, the Iran war led to jacked up oil prices that they imported into Japan, importing inflation, led their currency to collapse, and in turn led them to raise their interest rates, which then unwound the Japanese yen carry trade, which is connected to AI and equity investments in the U.S. At the same time that's happening, AI has been borrowing massive amounts of money. These big companies that used to put off massive free cash flow no longer do. And they're going all in on the AI hype. They've misled the president to believing it's necessary for national security. They often create criminal behavior by the AI to say, see how powerful the AI really is, when it's actually meant to exaggerate it. And the problem is, the big AI companies like the BlackRocks and the Blackstones and all the rest have been, a lot of these big Wall Street hedge funds have been dipping in to pension funds and insurance funds in order to promote this huge build out that may never come about in any profitable manner, because the capability of AI is constricted. The profitability of AI isn't there in any current existing model. They're massively subsidizing it to create their monopoly presence globally. And when you combine those two with the being debt-driven financing, they aren't using their own money. And the reason why they're talking about, you know, going public is that in order to get a lot of retail investors to sucker in, and then they're going to dump them on the side of the road, like more like the tulip mania of the 1600s than the radio boom or than the railroad boom or the dot-com boom even. So that not only were you at major equity risk, the problem is it may unravel global financial crisis style. Our insurance proceeds, which are guaranteed to pay people out, and the money may not be there, which means there may be another run on the government treasury in order to meet that bailout. And then at the same time, pension funds, they may run it out to where people's pensions won't be able to get paid. And you're talking about an economic crisis on steroids, all because of a combination of what's happening with the Iran war and what's happening in the AI economy and how Wall Street is manipulating it. You combine that with private equity. These private equity boys, I have cases now pending in Texas against these private equity boys where they're coming in and stripping people, equity stripping people of their local business. And they've been doing this to junk businesses, to vet businesses, to local fast food businesses, to restaurant business, you name it. They've been coming in and stripping it, equity stripping it, and leave nothing behind to help Wall Street inflate its profits. But that's not a sustainable economic model. So all of this may come tumbling down, and it may come tumbling down much faster than everybody thinks. And it may impact ordinary people out there that don't know their pension proceeds, their insurance proceeds are tied up in this huge pyramid scheme that Wall Street has established. So it's something to be aware of and be awake to so you can prepare accordingly.
Last 60 seconds. Why do you think Trump's been so reckless with the sweetheart deals and insider trading? It's also obviously illegal.
Because he thinks he's an emperor. If you think you're Genghis Khan, if you think you're Attila the Hun, that isn't corruption. That's the people recognizing how great you are. Bring me the gifts to me, my family, my friends. Bring me the gold. Bring me the mirror. That's who I am. That validates me. That shows how great I am. That's why he's building 50-foot gold statues in his library. That's why he has 20-foot gold statues on his golf course, and he asks Jewish and Christian leaders to come and bless it because that's where he's at. The fact that he is a great emperor. He's not some ordinary American. He's not some common president. He's not some founding father. He's not some Gandhi-esque figure. No, he is on par with Genghis Khan. That's why he wants to conquer the Russians in a land war, convert the Persians, and bluff the Chinese all in the same time, when those are the three things anybody could tell you not to try to do. Because he wants to show the world, I am this great. And that's why the corruption isn't corruption to him. They're bringing me gifts to prove my greatness.
He believes might is right. Incredible. All right, Robert Barnes, thank you so much. Amazing interview.
Oh, glad to be here, Alex.
We'll be right back with Stuart Rhodes in the special broadcast tonight, 6:30.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bigley has launched an online pharmacy, 1776rx.health. It's one product we're launching with, my decision, and that is ivermectin with benzidol, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this. But benzidol is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search benzidol studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists, you'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776rx.health.
Hello, neighbor. It's such a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Today, I want to talk about the goblins who are watching you through your smart TV, your phone, and even your refrigerator. They're not very nice neighbors. In fact, they're trying to put chemicals in the water, things like fluoride, that can quietly change the way we think and feel. Lucky for us, we have the Dual Carbon Platinum Gravity-Fed Water Filter System. It quietly takes out all those nasty little things the goblins put in the water, so your home can feel a little safer and a little cleaner. We have all these wonderful supplements. My personal favorite is the Ultimate Power Patriot Punch. One scoop in the morning, and by lunchtime I've mowed everybody's lawn, reorganized the garage, and declared independence from the Homeowners Association. Please visit the AlexJonesStore.com today.
The info war is not gone. It has been reborn. AlexJonesLive.com is the new site to find the next step in the information war. Articles, video reports, live streams, and breaking news. It's all on AlexJonesLive.com. You can also find us on X at RealAlexJones and on Rumble at Rumble.com/TheAlexJonesShowLive. And don't forget to download the app. Go to AlexJonesApp.com. We need you to be the Paul Revere's, to share the links. The fight continues. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
AlexJonesLive.com.
We've only just begun to fight.
When the hydrogen bombs are detonating, and you're sitting in your house or office, and all of a sudden the windows all blow out, and then 10 seconds later, you see a flash of red coming at you, that's the firewall. And just remember, oh, Alex Jones was right. And that's if you're, you know, on the edge of the blast. You won't feel anything if you're actually in the epicenter of it. And, of course, maybe you're out in the middle of Montana or Wyoming. Well, you'll get the nuclear winter and the fallout, and then a few weeks after the nuclear war, here comes the warlords coming to loot your house and rape your wife and kids. And people got their teeth falling out from radiation poisoning, and all these crazy guys stumble out of their vehicles, and it'll be doctors and medics and engineers, and they'll all been gone totally crazy. And you have a bunch of 140 IQ psychos that are literally going across the land like army ants, devouring everything in their way. And all the low IQ people will just be dead in a ditch. And then the near of civilization goes bye-bye, and all of a sudden there's all these monsters, all these 140, 150, 160 IQ monsters. The guy that used to manage the golf course, your surgeon, your neighbor who's the army vet. And now all of a sudden, they're hauling you up by a chain to butcher your ass and eat you. And if I wanted to get outside the blast zone, I could go get ready and I could be the leader. I could be a new warlord. I could organize the engineers and scientists and warriors and have a battle plan how we were going to take the resources we needed, get to a redoubt, fortify it with weapons, because there's going to be other warlords coming soon we're going to contend with as we rebuild civilization. It's not that I want to be a warlord, but that's what we're going back to. Are you ready to be a warlord? Are you ready for me to be humongous? Just give us the guts. We spare your lives. I know how much pain you feel, but wait. Now is not the time. You'll be given your vengeance.
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
This is Stuart Rhodes filling in for the final hour of the Alex Jones Show, calling right here from the bunker in Austin, Texas. It's an honor to be here. So for those who don't know me, I'm the founder of Oath Keepers, former J6 political prisoner, Yale Law graduate. Please don't hold that against me. I'm a recovering lawyer, and I've recently had all my rights restored, but DOJ, thankfully, filed a motion to dismiss our charges that was finally granted, and our sentences were vacated as well. And so I'm back restored to my rights, but I went through 3 years of hell in the prison system. And now I'm bringing on another persecuted American who's being persecuted for standing up against transgender activism, an attempt to transition her teenage son from the age of 15 on. You had radical leftist trans activists in California trying to transition her child, and she simply acted as a mother to defend her child and try to save him from being transitioned. So I want to bring in this awesome patriot, Shayna Gaviola. Please join us today. Hi, Shayna. How are you doing?
Hello. How are you?
Doing all right. I want the audience to know that Shayna is scheduled to be to begin a prison sentence on Monday in federal prison. This is what's so disturbing and disgusting, is that even under the Trump administration, under Trump's nose, the lawfare against Christians, against conservatives continues. So, Shayna, please tell the audience real quickly your story of what happened to your son and yourself.
I'll try to do my best. My story is a little bit long, but I'm going to do the best that I can to kind of make it brief. My son, as along with a lot of other children, when they are, 13, 14, they're extremely confused. They don't know, a lot of who they are or, where they stand in society. And unfortunately, the moment that your child, especially in the state of California, says that they think that they're gay or that they think that they're trans, that moment moving forward, the school system activates this trans ideology. This this woman or man comes in, but all the ones that I've seen so far, these transitional counselors that they bring in are women. They bring in these
Are you talking about in the school? Licensed. In the school, right?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Without your knowledge.
Not licensed. Yeah. Not licensed psychologist. Not licensed psychologist. Just pretty much similar to, when you have CPS workers, you know, there's no reason that they should be dealing with, adolescents, you know, confusion. They just shouldn't. And that should be the parent's job. But the moment that that happens and the moment that they're brought in and the child says, hey, my mom's not okay with me transitioning, they block the parents completely out. Now you're no longer in charge of your child. You're no longer alerted when they have behavioral issues at school. They don't contact you for information or situations that you absolutely, as a parent, should be contacted for. So,
and isn't it true that they also begin to schedule the child for hormone blocking and eventually sex change operations, all without your permission?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. And what was astonishing to me was my son, when he came in to have a sit down with us, he was, you know, 13 or 14 years old. I can't remember exactly, but he's like, I want everyone to call me Brianna in the house. And I'm like, absolutely not. We're not doing that. My youngest daughter, she was 4 at the time. Not that that makes it any, you know, better or worse, but you can kind of understand what I was dealing with, you know, how, hard pressed I was to not do that. That's not acceptable. We're not playing that, game and we're not doing that in this house. And he told me directly to my face that the counselor at school told him that when he turned 16, he could go have the transitional surgery behind my back, that they didn't have to alert me, and that they would actually lie to me while he was in surgery at a hospital and tell me that he was in class at school. Now you can imagine a 13 or 14 year old child doesn't know those things on their own. They're not privy to that information. So it was absolutely an adult
that was
telling him this.
He was being coached and groomed.
Correct.
Right.
Yes.
So fast forward
by the same woman.
So what happened with, so just fast forward to, as a mother, you finally took steps to try to protect your son. Now he secured, I guess, once again, being coached to do this, he secured a protective order against you, right?
Yes. One of these ladies took him down to the Fresno Superior Court and talked him into signing a petition for emancipation and a restraining order against me. And, you know, there had been no police reports. There had been no violence. There has been no accusations of abuse. There's been no CPS cases. I'm a single mom raising 4 kids on my own. I've never been in trouble. I have no criminal record. And he was successful in doing this just based on my religion and my stance in transitioning him.
So
ultimately,
in other words, the judge granted, I guess, a temporary protective order on the basis only of him desiring to transition and you opposing it as a Christian. And that's what the judge granted the order based on. And of course, it's ex parte, right? You were not notified.
It was an ex parte. Right. I was not allowed to be there.
Did you know about it?
I was never legally served.
Did you even know what was happening?
I did not know that it was happening. Absolutely not. He was supposed to be on his way home. He was messaging, hey, mom, I'm going to be at my friend's house. We're making cake pops for a minute, and then I'll be home in an hour. Mm-hmm. And then he never showed back up. That was the very last time I ever spoke with my son, and that was in 2021.
And so then what happened? You tried to take action as a mother.
So then I was told by Clovis Police Department that there was a restraining order. They would not serve me the legal documents. They said they didn't have them. And then, you know, the same officer that I was told that by told me that Blake had come in, my son had come in and told him that he was, gay and that he was afraid for his life and that I didn't, believe in his transgender and that he thinks that I was going to hurt him. And so they assigned this officer to my son who is also gay. He's a gay officer. And this was the person who let me know that there was a restraining order against me. I contacted a family law attorney thinking, okay, now I have to go fight this case. Family law attorney, Ms. Browns looked up the case and said, nope, it's pending judge's orders. Judge has not signed anything. There is not a restraining order on file. And, you know, what do you want to do? What are your next steps? Because, you know, a small part of this that we, you know, have left out until right now was my son had just been arrested for molesting a 7-year-old. So I could not have him back in my home, which was why he was out of the home to begin with.
Where was he living while this happened, while this alleged assault?
So I was I trusted this woman that he had introduced me to. He had introduced me to her as his girlfriend's mom that he met at church. And she infiltrated my home, was super kind, super sweet, very helpful. Again, I'm a single mom navigating a very difficult situation. And she, after calling his dad, his grandmother, pretty much all my resources to try to find placement for him because it wasn't safe for him to be around my other children. And it's an extreme, molestation case. So, you know, I'm not going to get on, you know, into that, but my youngest son, watched one of these, you know, one of these events happen.
This is in the home. Yeah. Hold on a second. This is in the home of the lady who came to your home and befriended you. She said, I've got a place for him to stay, or what happened?
Yeah, so she said, you know, we've got an extra room. He can stay the nights with us, because that was what we were most concerned about, was he was sharing a room with his younger brother. So, you know, that was no longer appropriate. And she came off as, like I said, loving, kind, wonderful. The entire time she was socially transitioning him behind my back. And then I came to find out she was allowing him to be ice skating instructor for young children, knowing what he was just charged with. It got worse.
So she was also part of convincing him to transition.
Correct.
Okay. So multiple people were grooming your son for to be transitioned.
Yes, it was two women.
Two women. Gotcha. Can you talk about the alleged assault your son did on a 7-year-old? Where was that at?
So my best friend lived next door to me, and both of our sons were 7 years old. Seven's very small, as you know. And I was pretty much the only house that she would allow her kids to come over to. My son was 15, and so I was at work, and he was at home. And he multiple times forced the 7-year-old to perform oral sex on him. One time, forcing my 7-year-old son, who biologically is his brother, into watching him.
Do you think he was groomed and taught that that was okay by these same people?
I think very much after the fact, after it came to light, absolutely. I know for a fact that they have said to me that this is normal childhood behavior and that I should have got him a lawyer and should never have let him talk to the police. I absolutely disagree. I feel like as a mom, my job is to protect my son. But at that moment, my job was to protect other people's kids from my son. And the kind of parent that hides that, that makes excuses for that, are awful parents. And so for me, I feel like I was doing the right thing. And now he hates me because of my actions with that.
So tell us what you did then that got you in trouble with the feds.
So I was, talking to the attorney, trying to go over my options, called a couple of friends of mine, a few in law enforcement. And they were like, you know, why don't you try to look at some of these programs? They have a lot of programs for boys. I found seven that kind of fit Christian morals background. Now, my son was extremely involved in church his whole life. So just these last 3 years of his life, had he not been involved in church, he sang in the choir. He was very involved. So a Christian background, and then him, you know, wanting to get him closer to God and hoping that once he goes into this facility, he will see just how warped his mentality, his thinking was because of these adults that have infiltrated his mind. I found seven schools. They were all really great. Two stuck out to me because they had therapeutic programs. One was the first one that I enrolled him into. His dad agreed and gave my attorney consent. I signed over, like a power of attorney, parental rights to the school. His dad then called me and said, hey, I'm not going to be able to financially help you at all. So that school was way more expensive than the second option, which the second option was just as good. It's just I was able to get a grant for that one. Through that program, he also would only be around, all of the programs would only be around children who were 15 to 18 years old. So no small children, you know, takes a lot of that risk out of that. And I signed over my rights to the school, and the transport team, who consisted of two off-duty sheriff's deputies, one that graduated from the school himself, came to pick up Blake. Now my son was and is 6'3", about 210 pounds, had already been arrested before and had already been charged with lewd and lascivious acts to a minor. So to someone under the age of 14. So this is not a child that the mainstream media is portraying as some, you know, innocent child who was just yanked up and thrown in handcuffs and drove across state lines. Now, I will tell you that he was supposed to be flown. So, you know, there was a little bit of a discretion there from the transportation team. He was not supposed to be driven. I paid for flights. And he was supposed to be flown. I did not believe that he was going to be handcuffed because they said they only use that in like extreme matters where he was, you know, arguing or fighting or any of those things. And none of that happened. He went very like peacefully, was told what was going on. I had a good friend of mine who he also knew, that's a private investigator, go with them, including a retired sheriff's deputy here in town, to also help with that extraction to get him into the transportation team. So at all times he was safe. I made someone make sure somebody was there that he knew so that he wasn't scared. And then completely fine for the entire transport. This awful woman who had brainwashed him and groomed him made a police report, and this is solidly on a police report, that I had masked gunmen pick him up that were tied to the mafia, that I had cartel connections, and that I was going to have him killed. Those were the things on an actual police report. We were not allowed to bring that into the trial, but we'll get to that in a moment.
Right. Right. So, so long story short, after you did this, you were charged with a federal crime of violating, yes, of across state lines, violating a protective order, right?
Correct.
And that was done, that was initiated in 2021 under the Biden administration?
Correct.
Okay. But the sad thing is that it carried on and continued. In fact, your trial was in December of 2025, right?
Correct.
Under the new Trump administration. So we're getting a break coming up here, but I want to, so I want folks to understand what happened to you when you were arrested and charged. And let's talk about the prosecutors. So whatever you want to say about that, we got 2 minutes left before the break.
Okay, so when I was arrested and charged, I was put in jail for 8 days. I was supposed to just turn myself in, but they actually requested that I stay in until my trial. By the grace of God, I had a judge that let me out. I was on house arrest for 6 months. I was on pretrial for 4.5 years, which is like the strongest amount of probation you can be on, or parole. I was drug tested for 2 years. And even though there was no drugs, I have no criminal record whatsoever. While I was at a, it was like an after hours, like 10 o'clock, 10 p.m. It's like kind of a bougier, hors d'oeuvre, drinks location.
So a fern bar, basically, right?
A what?
A fern bar.
Right? Yeah. You can say that. The federal prosecutor, Michael Tierney, came in, and was smiling at me from across the bar, ended up, you know, talking to me, introducing himself to me. I knew who he was, and I told him who I was almost immediately. And then he kind of, you know, realized who I was, and at that moment should have walked away. Instead, he continued to hit on me, telling me we can talk about things that aren't related to the trial. We could get together after this is all done, that he was going to ask for the minimal amount, if I was convicted. This shook me, obviously. So I'm sitting there. I go to the bathroom in about 10 minutes. I come out and he's standing outside waiting for me in the bathroom. with the special agent of the FBI who raided my home on his cell phone, his personal cell phone. He shoves it in my face. He says, hey, you know, yeah, she's really right here. So I get on the phone and, it's Agent Crow and she's like, this is crazy. You know, like, I can't believe that this is going on. And I'm like, yeah. And they're flirting back and forth. You know, just kind of saying, I can't remember everything that was said, with their flirting kind of back and forth, very flirty. And he was flirting with me and, you know, talking about, you know, that she's the hot FBI agent and just kind of going back and forth. And then I get off that phone call and go to sit down at a bar and sit there and wait, because now I'm leaving and I'm going to call an Uber. And I go to walk outside and he's outside and he's got my current attorney, that not my current now, but my previous attorney on the phone, and he puts him on the phone with me.
Let's continue after the break. We got to take a break right now. I'll be right back. This is just incredible. Thank you for coming up.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts, go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. It's globalist siege. It's globalist economic warfare. It's a globalist blockade, an embargo, sanctions against American populist patriots. For everyone that's been watching and listening to me for years, you've seen the attacks, you've seen the deplatforming, you've seen the court battles, the news articles, the demonization, the bogus default judgments. We even have FBI and CIA operatives on hidden camera talking about how their entire goal was to take me out at the knees by knocking out my ability to accept payments. And that model they used on me, they admit, is for all of you.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
So with Alex Jones, and the goal with him was what, just to bankrupt him?
Pretty much.
Well, because of First United Payments and your support, they failed. And they failed because I had a processor with a backbone who loves America and believes in the free market. One who stands up for American justice and who didn't back down when they received threatening messages and pressure from other major institutions. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Consolidation, vertical integration, that is the goal of the BlackRock globalist system. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. This is the key to their entire panopticonic takeover plan, in their own words. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. Visit First United Payments now at FirstUnitedPayments.com. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A. by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. That's 877-899-1313. The tyrants are counting on us not to innovate. They're counting on us not to migrate to institutions and organizations that are pro-human just like us. This isn't some new company. I've been using them for almost a decade. They're already taking care of most of the patriots. Whether you're a florist, have a gas station, or you're a farmer, or you've got a little five and dime shop or a factory, whatever it is, online merchants, this is the place for you. These guys are patriots, and they're in our corner. They're Americans just like us, and they hate the New World Order with a passion. They believe in the free market, and they understand this is 1776 2.0. 90% of it is information warfare and financial, and this is just as important as the right to self-defense and guns. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Thank you so much. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Discover trends and global developments years before they happen right here on The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to The Alex Jones Show. This is Stuart Rhodes filling in for the final hour. I have the honor of interviewing an awesome patriot who stuck to her guns and went to trial, much like I did, myself and my co-defendants, who refused to I'm sure you were offered a plea bargain. Tell us about that, Shanna. Did they offer you a deal and you refused to do that?
Yes. So at the beginning, when all this happened, I believe that they were just targeting the school. There was no federal charges. There was no federal involvement until the school, until I got to the school. And then I realized that they were trying to shut the school down for the last couple of years because it was a Christian boarding school.
You mean the Christian school you were trying to take your son to in Missouri?
Correct.
Okay, gotcha.
So it was under investigation by the FBI.
Ah, so the feds had already targeted this Christian school, were trying to shut it down. And so when they saw an opportunity to get you, they tried to coerce you into testifying against the school?
Yeah, they told me that if I just testified to Julio Sandoval, basically knowing that there was a restraining order, actively violating it, and, forcing or coercing me into allowing him to kidnap my son in this big scheme that he had done. They ultimately wanted him and the school shut down and him in prison.
He's the dean of the school?
Julio's a great guy.
He's the dean of the school?
He was the dean of admission at the boarding school. He's a retired Marine. He's a father of, I believe, six. He spends his entire life with these boys that are troubled and need guidance. But I decided not to do that. There's no way. I have to sleep at night. Amen. Same reason that I decided not to do anything about my son. I'm the one that has to, deal with me and my decisions.
Right.
And I stick by that. I don't feel like what the decision that I made was wrong. I do feel like there's a lot of people in my life that probably wish that I did make that decision. And I understand that too.
But as a Christian, you refuse to bear false witness. That's a sin, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, especially towards this man who's spent his entire life helping these boys.
So they wanted you to help put an innocent man in prison for doing good work, doing God's work, which they hate.
Yes.
Because they want to stop him from stopping them. That's the bottom line. And you refuse to do that, refuse to take the deal. And you went to trial. This is just like J6. It's so weird to experience this all over again. So you refused to do that, refused to kiss the ring and bend the knee. You went to trial. And tell us what that was like. You went to trial in December of 2025 under the new Trump administration.
Yeah.
Did you hope as a political prisoner to be, did you hope that the new administration would dismiss these charges?
I was so hopeful. I still am. I still am. It's been a long time. It feels like it's been a long time. I was able to successfully remove the prosecutor. There was a judge. We had a court hearing. He was removed for prosecutorial misconduct. She called his.
We're trying to arrange a threesome with you and the FBI agent, right?
Correct.
Right.
And we have personal text messages between them. So those were discovered as well. Him saying that I looked good that night. Maybe she likes girls. She seems to like you too. We can get together with her after this.
And the FBI agent was, down for that, right? She was also.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And they're both married. And at the end of it, he said, we'll have to commiserate up with lots and lots of alcohol and he put in both their husband and wife's name that it's going to be a long night of commiseration.
Wow.
Yeah, we had a court date where they both had to get up on the stand and explain these text messages.
You did a motion to dismiss the case, right? The charges, the indictment. And what happened? The judge did not grant that.
This was Judge Thurston. Unfortunately, this is a very left-leaning activist judge who refused the pardon for Ben Martin from Trump. So she had already made a stand on where she, on where she stands. She did call his actions incomprehensible and moved my case from the Eastern District to the Northern District. And a judge came in and overruled that and brought in a activist judge who was retired, who just blocked Trump's Birthright Act and also went on a 60-minute show talking about how much he hates MAGA, brought him in, and with him came seven orders in limine. So those are gag orders, you know, for anybody like myself that didn't understand what those were. I could not talk about the child molestation. I could not bring in his sexual orientation. I could not talk about any of those things. I couldn't talk about the prosecutorial misconduct. I could not bring in the, I could not dispute the validity of the restraining order or say the fact that I was not personally served. They told the jury all that they needed to know was that I knew about it and I did not have to legally be served.
So they didn't, let you talk about the grooming of your son either to commit, you know, an assault on a minor or the grooming to become trans. They didn't talk to you and you were not, let me ask you this. Did they also gag you from being able to talk about the deal they offered you if you were to, bear false witness against the dean of the school? Were you also?
Yeah. Well, that was something that was told to me by my first attorney. So they didn't offer it in like a, in so much of a, you know, provable legal documentation.
It was through your attorney, right.
So even, even when I did say that, the judge, you know, even when we tried to bring that in, the judge would not allow my attorney to speak at all. If you looked at the transcripts, you would be blown away. Well, not you. You wouldn't be blown away.
I wouldn't be surprised
at
all.
There and you've been railroaded before and, and been gagged and been unable to speak or defend yourself. But, you know, as a normal person, just like you, there's, you don't believe that that's real. You don't believe that that can happen.
Right.
You know, you watch all these trials. Yeah. You watch all these trials and people are talking about the way they feel or the things they think or how the, you know, and these are provable documentation, documented incidents that I wasn't allowed to bring into my own trial.
Right. So you were not allowed to tell the jury anything really other than, what were you allowed to use to defend yourself?
I chose not to speak because the judge said, if you violate any of these orders in limine, I will hold you in contempt, throw you in jail, and we'll just get a new jury in here. And we can keep doing that as long as you'd like.
That's what he said.
Yes.
Okay. So your judge, so your lawyer advised you not to take the stand?
We talked, you know, in depth about it. This is an emotional case.
Right.
I, as you see, am not a very quiet person. So, you know, when you're being attacked by a prosecutor who now, you know, they brought in his friend and colleague and a trans woman prosecutor to prosecute me.
So you're being prosecuted by a transsexual?
Yes.
Okay. A former man, now a woman, or what?
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So when they brought this heinous, very evil, we'll go with woman. We'll say that if that's what we need to do. It's a man.
No, it's a man.
This man's a
shim.
Yeah. Yeah. And when they brought, I mean, evil isn't even the beginning of how this person treated me. When they came up with a guilty verdict, she turned around, looked directly into my daughter's face and smiled. And just the most evil smile you've ever seen. She was malicious and he was malicious. And so I decided not to even get on the stand, because I knew myself. I knew I couldn't not defend myself.
And then you would have been found in contempt of court.
Absolutely.
Do you regret that now? Do you wish that in hindsight you had taken the stand so you could look the jury in the eye and tell them what you think? What do you think?
It's hard. It's hard to know. I think that I could have done that. I think that the judge I think there was probably a 90% chance that he would have held me in contempt, put me in jail, and got a new jury in.
Right.
And we, you know.
So you were, so you were going to be found guilty no matter what
in this
show trial, just like us J6ers. And this is something the audience needs to understand, that across the country, this is how it's done to thousands of Americans every year. prosecutors do the exact same thing. And you need to understand that this was done to this patriot during the Trump administration, December of 2025, after President Trump was in office under Attorney General Pam Bondi. So you have to wonder, why is it that this prosecution was not stopped? Pam Bondi, with a stroke of a pen, could have dismissed this charge against you and set you free from going through this show.
Well, she made a memorandum and my attorney filed it and the judge laughed at it and said, and basically just denied, because she made a memorandum that said we're no longer going to prosecute parental rights cases.
So Pam Bondi did write a memorandum that said what?
That we are no longer prosecuting parental rights cases or religious freedom cases. And all these cases need to be dropped immediately and dismissed. And the judge laughed. The new AG in California, Eric Grant, that was an interim AG, came when he was in there. We were fighting to get the molestation out. He sat in the courtroom. And when the judge said, we're not going to talk about them, you know, you're not going to be able to bring that in, he laughed in one of the most condescending ways, just out loud. And, you know, just sitting there inside the courtroom,
Pam Bondi, let me get clear on this. So Pam Bondi did file a memorandum that I guess she distributed out to all the U.S. attorneys across the country that we're no longer going to prosecute these cases. And what they do with that, they just threw it in the round file.
Nothing.
Right.
These are the same players. So they haven't been removed and they don't care about this current administration's. They don't care about the president's orders. They openly defy his orders, his pardons, the AG's orders. They don't report to him. They don't feel this administration is above them.
And why should they fear him? Because they're not being fired. Pam Bondi, after sending that memorandum out, I'm sure she got plenty of good press for that on Fox News. Oh, I sent a memorandum out to make sure that they know it's not going to happen anymore. And all of the MAGA faithful were like, oh, great. So the lawfare is going to stop. But behind the scenes, it continued. I didn't find out about your case until yesterday. So I didn't even know about this.
Yeah.
So this is the problem we have in this country, is that we don't learn about these cases until like the 11th hour. Here you are about to be turned in to go to prison on Monday. So what do we want the audience to do? We need to burn up the phone lines of the White House and also the pardon attorney's office. So what do you want them to give them their action items?
My pardon is in. Yeah, my pardon is in.
The pardon application is in, you mean?
Yes, the application is in. Okay. Sorry.
No problem.
We need letters to go into the pardon department at the White House. We need phone calls coming in. And, you know, if anybody can, you know, re-tag some of the posts. I've been on the Emerald Robinson show. I've been on, you know, Real American's Voice with Trennis Evans. I've been on
And Trennis has been helping you, right? Condemned USA?
Yes.
Okay. That's how I found out about your case.
Trennis Evans has been one of my biggest advocates. I would be in a very different situation if it was not for him.
Well, good to go.
George Pallas and Dylan Barquette have been amazing attorneys that have just fought like endlessly for me for very, very little money at all.
Well, good. Well, praise God for that. So let's give the folks their action items. You've got a letter here, a model letter to the U.S., to Mr. President, actually. Office of the Pardon Attorney, but it's addressed to President Trump. So do you have is there a place where folks can go and see this letter and use that? Or do you just want them to write their own letter?
You can go on to Aaron Friday's X account. And you can also, I believe you can just send it directly to the pardon office. But I think that if you want that specific one, maybe we can put on Aaron Friday's email and then they can send it to her or I can just say it out loud.
Go ahead. Whatever you want to tell them. Go ahead.
Okay. So it is going to be, sorry, just getting this. Aaron.Friday@yahoo.com.
And
you can request.
Aaron is spelled how?
E-R-I-N.
Okay.
.Friday@yahoo.com.
Okay.
And you can email requesting that template because she already has it set up. Or you can write your own and you can send it in to the Department of Justice.
Let's give them the U.S. Pardon Attorney's email. So it's uspardon.attorney@usdoj.gov. Maybe the team can put it back up on the screen. uspardon.attorney@usdoj.gov. And then you've got a phone number for, there we go. So you can call the DOJ at that number on the screen, 202-616-6070. You can also call the White House, direct line to the White House, 202-456-1111. And then the comment line, 202-456-1414. Why not do it all? And then write the U.S. Pardon, uspardon.attorney@usdoj.gov, and just say, pardon this patriot. This lawfare needs to stop. This is Biden lawfare. Why is it going on and continuing? An innocent mother who's just trying to be a good mother is going to prison for nothing, for being a good mother on Monday. And you're being sentenced to 3 years, correct?
I am, yes. I'm supposed to report on Monday. I am sentenced to 3 years in federal prison with zero criminal record.
That's disgusting.
And yeah, if I would have taken the deal, they offered me probation. If I would have taken the second offer that they offered me when Tierney was still in before he was removed, it would have been at 6 months, I believe. It would have been probation in 6 months.
What was the second deal?
Because I had him removed, I was and then brought in American Rights Alliance, and tried to fight for my parental rights and my religious liberties. They made an example out of me.
So if you'd have played ball and helped them put an innocent man in prison to shut down his Christian Academy for Boys, where you said a grown sheriff deputy graduated from there when he was a kid, right? Kept him
Correct.
Out of trouble. So if you had played ball and helped put an innocent man in prison, you would not have done any jail time at all. No prison time, right?
None.
Probation no. only. Just admit your yeah. guilt, admit your guilt, and then help us yeah. put another person in prison. Well, hats yeah. off to you for being a patriot and a strong Christian. I appreciate that.
Best two things we can kind of leave with is my son did not transition.
Good.
He is 21 years old. He goes by his birth given name, identifies as a boy. And also, Julio Sandoval is not in prison. He was acquitted and found not guilty.
Amen. God bless that. God bless you for yeah. being strong.
Thank you.
What else do you want to tell the audience? I mean, so you went to trial during the Trump administration. And I'm sure up to the 11th hour, you're hoping the charges would be dismissed and the trial would stop. It did not stop, despite the Attorney General's memo going out. It's just amazing that you have President Trump stating, I want this done. It doesn't get done. Then you got the Attorney General stating, I want this done. Here's what we're going to do. It's my policy. And they're ignored. And yet, no one's fired. And so, on the 11th hour during your trial, up to the very end, you were still hoping that you would hear word that the charges would be dismissed, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. This entire time, even after being convicted, I'm aware that all they have to do is tell the DOJ to drop my charges and they're dropped.
Right.
Now, unfortunately, the, Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals is refusing to drop two J6ers charges. They're refusing.
I'm not going to let DOJ off the hook. The DOJ right now could still do what they did in my case, myself, my co-defendants, the Oath Keepers and the Proud Boys. They can move the Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit to vacate your conviction. They can also move
Absolutely.
To have it remanded back to the trial court for dismissal with prejudice. They can do the exact same thing. That's what they should be
yes.
doing right now. So that's one thing you can tell folks out there in the audience. You can put pressure on the DOJ also, the Attorney General Todd Blanch now. Hey, why don't you do the same thing for this patriot you did for the Oath Keepers and Proud Boys, the 12 of us who were not, not pardoned, were commuted. They finally did the right
thing.
Well,
and I'm praying. I've got a lot of people working for me, and fighting for me. I talked to Tina Peters this morning. You know, she's being a pretty loud advocate for me as well.
Good.
You know, she's also another patriot that's just gone through hell.
Yes.
You know, and I get that that situation was a state case, but this one is a federal case, and very easily pardoned with, you know, with just a signature.
No excuse. So no excuse for the DOJ, even right now. No excuse for the Trump administration not to end this one way or the other, either through that to those two mechanisms. A pardon would take care of it, but also even better, a vacature and dismissal. That's what should be done.
Yeah, I truly believe that this probably just in the last couple of weeks is the first time it's really been in their face too.
Right.
Just like you said, you know, you hadn't heard it either.
Yeah.
And to be quite honest, for the first couple of years while my son was still a minor, I wasn't very vocal about it. And I was going through a very emotional time, you know, mourning the loss of a son that's still living.
But praise God, he did not transition. You did not lose your son.
Praise God.
And all I can say to you is that keep your chin up, keep your faith. If you do go to prison on Monday, as absurd as this is, don't despair. That's what they want you to do. Don't lose faith. Make your faith be your rock, okay? Pray every day. And I think Tina told you that, and she's been through it too, even worse than us J6ers in many ways. She's an elderly lady, you know, kept held in solitary confinement, her life threatened by violent inmates. So she went through it. You can do it too. Stay strong, and you will not. I don't believe you will spend all that time. So I think that one way or another, you'll be get. If you do go to prison on Monday, you'll get out soon. But God willing, this gets stopped. I hope that the folks out there burn the phone lines up, and I hope Tina is successful. I think she's in Washington D.C. right now. I hope she's successful, and hope Trans is successful in getting the word to the Trump administration. President Trump, if he wants to turn around the plummeting numbers he has with his own base right now, one way to do that is to do the right thing in this case. It'd be the one thing he can do with a stroke of a pen. And frankly, I would encourage him to pardon you so you don't go to prison, and then also to pressure Todd Blanche to vacate your conviction and remand for dismissal with prejudice so that your record is wiped clean and you're fully restored. So what else do you want to tell the audience before we part ways today?
I also, you know, just want to tell anybody out there that's going through something similar, to stick with it, to keep going, to fight, because there's not a lot of people who will, and there's not a lot of people who have the ability or the strength. But as a single mom, if I can do it, you can do it. And to just hold true to your values and to your faith and know that you're not alone, and we're, you know, there's a lot of us here that are fighting so that this never happens to anyone else ever again.
And to bring this around to the big picture, Alex handed me this before we exchanged places here. In Germany right now, there's basically a German version of the Southern Poverty Law Center, some NGO there, published a guide for teachers of how to spot right-wing families, children from right-wing families, like girls who wear dresses and pigtails. So this is an assault around the world, a war on Christianity. That's what's happening, and we need to just acknowledge this is, you know, we battle not against flesh and blood. This is a battle between good and evil, and it is important for all of us to understand, like you said, that whenever you're in the hot seat, you need to do the right thing and stand up for the truth. Live not by lies, yes. Speak the truth, and the truth will set you free. So I want to commend you, really. I know what it's like. And I want to commend you for sticking to your guns and doing the right thing up until the last. So hats off to you.
Yeah, thank you. I want to commend you as well. I know the things that you've been through, and I feel like you're doing great just being who you are right here, because that's not an easy thing to go through. And just, I mean, you know, we're not the same people we were.
No.
You know, we're never going to be those people again. But the fact that we're here still fighting, the fact that you're just not just at home, just enjoying your time of being out, and that you're still out here trying to fight and make sure that, you know, this continues not to happen to other people. It says a lot about your character, and I really appreciate having me on today.
Appreciate you. And your example hopefully will inspire others. If we all stand up, if we all refuse to live by the lie, if we all refuse to take deals, the system can't crush us all. It can't go on. They rely on scaring people, and too many lawyers will advise their clients to do dishonorable things and take deals and falsely testify against others. So I want to thank you for being a hero. God bless you. Stay strong.
God bless you.
All right, folks. Hey, thank you for having me on today, folks. It's been an honor. Alex has been a stalwart warrior for many decades. That's why I'm in this chair. God bless InfoWars or Alex Jones Network. God bless you all.
My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts, go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when. Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink's been very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A. by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Online merchants, this is the place for you. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.